Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here, milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no. It's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in little coat. That guy in little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Provision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make you toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh? Yeah!
All right, hello and welcome to PFW in Progress. We are here until 2 o'clock. We weren't here on Tuesday because of the 4th of July and all that stuff, and nobody was here. But now we're back, except for Andy, who's not here.
How many vacation days does he have?
Well, he's determined to use every one of them.
Well, I don't blame him for that. I just want to know how many he has.
When you take them one at a time.
Yeah,
I know. It seems like
he's got... spread out a long way.
Yeah. So
he seems like he has more than you, and you've been here for, you know, longer than everybody.
He uses more than me, but that's my fault, not his.
So Eric's here, Paul's here, Fred's here, Toyota's in the booth. And we're ready to talk some, well, I don't know. What we're going to
LeBron?
Talk about. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on in New
World
Jersey.
World Cup final?
New Jersey just signed Nick Mangold. And
New Jersey, is that what you're calling them now?
Oh, yeah, they are the Jets.
Yeah, and DeBrickashaw.
I saw the brick yesterday, which I thought was a little high. I didn't think it was ridiculous, but I thought it was a little high.
Didn't this guy just, like, people were ready to run that guy out of town a year or two ago saying he sucked.
And people
he was
also
a bust,
think that Alan Faneca was good when the rest of the league obviously thought otherwise. Right?
Right. I'm just saying, it's absurd.
But I thought he got a little bit too much money.
Yeah.
But there's no cap, so who cares?
There's a lot of crazy kind
of... But I didn't see the Mangold thing. That came down today?
No. It's no.
Oh, so you just made that up?
Yeah. No, I misread it.
Because I do think it was
he's going to become a free agent in 2011.
What I do think is significant is the fact that the guys that were bitching for the money didn't get it, and the brick did. And I hadn't read really anything about him sort of kicking his feet about getting a new contract. So I wonder if that's sending a bad message. Maybe, you know, for their sake, a good message, well, you keep your mouth shut, but all of a sudden this completely alienates Revis and Mangold, and it spirals out of control.
You must
be
loving that, Fred.
Yeah. I think
there's a legit possibility. I was not a real believer of that early in the offseason, but as this has gone on now, when contracts get involved, that's when it changes for me. I don't care about Antonio Cromartie or Santonio Holmes. That, to me, is not an issue. But when contracts get involved and guys are worried about things that aren't the most important thing for the team, that's when problems come up. And I think right now the Jets have some problems with that.
Is that Jackie?
All right, we got a lot to talk about today.
Updated the hairdo,
Patriots,
finally, huh?
some NFL news, things going on, people getting in trouble, things like that.
What's this about the Lions president?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But webradio at patriots.com is the email address. If you want to email in, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And, again, we'll be here until 2 o'clock today.
Some training camp dates
Why don't you throw them out there?
All right, so we told you about July 29th, the start. We know now what they're going to have two-a-days, 9:30 and 3:45, kind of similar to last year. I believe that was the schedule last year, wasn't it? So that's Thursday, the 29th, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. That whole weekend, long weekend into the following week, we've got practices. Two-a-days up until that Monday, and then there's just, it looks like, one practice, at least right now, that's been announced. So training camp starting early, and Belichick starting them with two-a-days just like last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very similar to last year in terms of the schedule. I think that not all of those will be – there'll be different events. I know they always have the season ticket holder event somewhere in that first week. So that might be one of the days that there's only one practice listed. But
and they probably won't all be full pads. Sometimes we go
yeah,
in
go
and,
back and forth,
you know, they'll have jerseys. And
some
whatever.
Of these, they'll sprinkle in those walkthroughs that we'll never know when they're going to come. And all of a sudden, they'll have a morning where they're just out there in walkthrough mode. So looks like a very similar pattern to last year.
Yeah.
To what Bill did last year.
The big difference this year, of course, is the Saints will be coming to town.
Nice, Fred.
So,
yeah. And we'll be going to Atlanta.
Right. So a little bit of, that's a huge change from last year. But as far as those, that first week of practice is going to be very similar to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Double sessions, same times of the day. 9:30 is the morning session. I think 3:45 is the afternoon session.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those dates are on Patriots.com as we speak. So always check with Patriots.com before you head on to Gillette, because you never know whether things could change. So always check before you load up the station wagon.
Right? People still have station wagons?
No, now it's the minivan. Now load up the minivan.
Did you ever have a station wagon?
I didn't.
Your family when you were
a kid? I had a very, very good friend, though, my age, who bought his first car at like age 18 or 19. He bought a station wagon. He bought a Chevy Cavalier.
Shaggin' wagon?
Was one of the more bizarre decisions that I've ever seen a guy make.
Okay. Well,
but he had that car for a long time.
Yeah. Hey, when you're a kid, if it runs, then that's
all.
This
is a brand new car.
Oh, brand new?
Brand new. He bought a brand new Chevy Cavalier.
Oh, really?
Now, that's weird.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because my first car was a 67 Mustang, but I paid $250 for
it. Yeah, no. He had a bunch of those cars, you know, $100 cars that you go through like socks.
Right.
Yeah, he had a few of those. But then when he was like 18 or 19, he bought his first real car. A brand new car, and he chose a Chevy Cavalier. I'd never figured it out.
Must have got some deal on it.
Anyway, his nickname was Chuck. We called it the Chuck Wagon.
Chuck Wagon. There you go. My friend's dad had a station wagon that we'd always get carted around, and his dad was the guy that, you know, he had the one piece of hair that was like 4 feet long, and he'd wrap it around the top of his head. It's just one remaining hair. So, you know, he'd be driving in the station wagon with the window open. That hair would be, like, flapping out the window. If you're in the back seat with yours, you could get hit in the eye with that thing. I mean,
hideous.
It went on forever.
Who do these people think they're fooling when they have those?
They just wrap it up put a little Brill Cream on it.
You two were actually very good through that whole thing. I got, you know, the young punk who's leaving us in the booth with that smirk on his face. Now, can we all admit, I do not, nor have I ever have a comb over.
I
never tried to wrap it around grow it long on one side and flip it over to the other. Right?
No.
I don't have any hair.
No. What little you had,
I'm
you
not
combed.
Trying, I'm not trying to fool anybody.
You're not trying to fool anybody.
No.
I'm not trying to fool anybody. I have no hair.
It does look a little shorter, though, now, Paul.
I'm getting a cut tonight. Thanks for asking.
What, Tacoma's yet laughing in there?
Hey, when you guys were talking about comb overs, he's looking at me
with
that look on his face.
Toyota, I don't know what that is. What's in your hair? What kind of product do you have in
is
your
hair? Is that hair gel?
It is hair gel today.
What is it?
I don't even know.
Why do you put that in there?
So my hair doesn't
I don't understand
look
that look. Why do people want to have the look like you just stuck your head in a barrel of oil? Is that the BP look?
I think I went with a little too much today. I think that's why you're noticing
it. No, but it's not just you. I mean, I never
in general,
understood
why do
how
do
that,
it?
You know, makes you look good.
Is it supposed to be like, you know, you just got out of the shower and your hair's wet?
That wet look. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, back when I had options, I used to use hair gel. Not like Mark Capello.
No.
You know, the producer for the Patriots games on the radio on 98.5 The Sports Hub. OG.
Yeah.
Over gel.
Speaking of men's health, Have you guys tried the new Gillette ProGlide?
Who was speaking of men's health?
Actually, I have.
I like it.
I do, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge difference, but I noticed a little bit of a difference, a little bit smoother shave.
At this point, it's like, it's kind of like when you're a millionaire, right? You've made your first, what is it, like 10 million? After the first 10 million, everything seems the same.
Well, it used to be the first million, but,
right,
now, but nowadays, who knows?
When you get into that stratosphere, it's like, you know, they've made, Gillette has made such great razors now that you never cut yourself
right.
when you're shaving any.
No, you don't.
You know, you don't need the Siptic
right.
stick thing or whatever.
Right.
So at this point, it's just a matter of how much more smooth
right.
can you get. And it's
degrees.
Yeah.
Small degrees.
But
I think. But
it's still good.
Yeah, it's nice. I like the Gillette products. Not just because their name is on the stadium, but I've always been a Gillette fan. Use their stuff.
Gillette, the best a fan can get.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't that what I said when they opened the stadium?
Paul, you're still using a straight edge?
No, I use an electric.
Oh, electric?
No, he goes to the down to the shop and gets the the hot towel wrap.
That's
and,
Freddy.
Back to the 40s with
That's
Paul.
Freddy.
Oh,
Freddy likes
getting a happy ending afterwards.
If you can treat yourself.
The knob job, remember?
If you can treat yourself to a nice traditional shave at a barber, that's a nice treat to have. But electric.
I've never done that.
What do you use, a Braun?
I have a Norelco.
Norelco?
Yes.
The old kind with the spinning tops?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's all right.
Santa goes down the hill during Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yeah, exactly.
With the one? Exactly. It's probably from that year, too, right? It's still the same?
No, it's not. No, actually, I probably need a new one. Yeah. It's a few years
I think the Braun is probably better, though, don't you think?
I don't know.
If you're going to use an electric.
I don't think they've ever come up with an electric shaver that can match.
Totally agree.
Oh, it can't match a blade.
Yeah.
No. I tried the electric, though, once, and it was the Norelco one.
I love it.
The triangle circle routine, and it just didn't seem like that was working. The Braun, maybe, because it's got the straight edge.
Yeah.
That looks like that would work better than the circle.
Did you buy a new one, or did you borrow some?
No, no, I bought a new one.
Because they definitely, the blades get dull on the electric, and you have to change the blades, and I haven't changed my blades in a while.
No, this was brand new, but
you
it just
definitely
didn't
have
seem
to keep
like
up
it
with
was,
it.
I don't know.
But I have no problems with it. It takes 5 minutes as opposed to, doing all
You're
the...
You're in the car. It's stuck on 128.
I could if I had to.
Yeah. All right. So that's
now,
it
now
for
that
the
we
today
have the man
show,
grooming show
it's,
underway.
It's always good to check in with the male hygiene,
Oh, yeah.
The men's topics.
Right.
Because I think mostly men listen to this show. I know we have a few... Amy and a few other people.
A lot of women who listen to the show.
A lot of women.
Tracy.
Speaking of
Sam,
man grooming, though, have you seen those the new most interesting man in the world spots for Dos Equis?
I don't know.
Have you seen those, Paul? They've been playing them a lot during the World Cup, but they've changed now.
And there you have it. I haven't seen it.
Right. But, they used to do the thing where they'd have, like, a narrator in the beginning, and then now they just have a little thing where they show him sitting with the women at the table, and there's a few words at the bottom, like, today's topic is, and it says manscaping, and then it gets his thoughts on that topic.
Oh.
And they show manscaping, and he just looks at the camera, shakes his head, and goes, I have no idea what that is. That's the whole spot.
That's in my pecker.
All right. By the way, Spain or Netherlands, who are you rooting for?
Netherlands.
Spain.
Netherlands?
Yep.
I'm rooting for Spain.
I don't know.
Somebody told me that Netherlands is full of racists.
Who told you that?
Somebody in the know.
Now, the two semifinal games I caught.
Maybe our European listeners can help us out with that.
I caught the last 5 minutes of the Netherlands-Uruguay game. When was that? Earlier this week, right?
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Tuesday.
At the very end of the game, they had a little scuffle on the field among the players. They were kind of – and, that announcer there, that Ian Dark guy.
He's great.
I think fantastic.
He's phenomenal.
Well, it's rather unfortunate. the players – and we don't like to say –
they cut away
ESPN
from it.
ESPN cuts away from it and goes to Amsterdam, where evidently the entire city is on fire. It's like Detroit in 1984 after the Tigers won the World Series, which we can all make our own little Amsterdam jokes about how that fire, got started and everything. But literally, there were two enormous blazes going on at the same time in Amsterdam. And they cut back to Ian Dark. Oh, and I mean, literally, it's the ultimate soccer fight. I mean, they're hitting each other with purses.
Right.
I mean, the lipstick gets knocked out of one bag into the other. And, I mean, they're just you know, slap fighting each other.
Yeah.
Oh, it's rather unfortunate to have such a competition end in this fashion. And it was just hilarious. And meanwhile, there's an entire nation on fire. I found it very comical.
It was good stuff.
And I missed the Spain-Germany game yesterday.
I didn't see it either.
It came down to the end. One goal by Spain.
But I know the goal was a beautiful. I did see the highlight. It was a beautiful goal.
Yeah,
great goal.
The header off a corner, right?
Right in the back of the net.
Yep.
Good goal. Yeah, so I'll be rooting for
it
Spain.
It just sounds so dirty. Yeah. It was a header off a corner.
Yeah. The soccer.
How much you pay for that?
The romantics, though, will like it because whoever wins, it'll be the first time that country has won the World Cup, so there'll be a new name added to the trophy,
nice.
Which will be kind of cool.
Nice.
I did expect Germany to win that game.
Now, why do they have a consolation game?
That is insane. Basketball and hockey have done away with those at the NCAA level. They used to do them both.
Yeah.
Why would you want to play a game like that?
Yeah, well, there's no consolation.
It's different, though. It counts, and there's a meaning for it.
That's true. It's in the standings.
But in the NCAA tournament, where you're playing for third place, there's no meaning for it.
Do they get, like, a bronze medal, like in the Olympics?
No. But that's a good, point, though. You have
more
in the Olympics because
thing.
There's a medal at stake.
I think it's more a status thing. You know, because like all through this tournament, they've been saying Germany, you know, which came in third in the 06 World Cup. So, you know, it's kind of a badge of honor. If you didn't make it to the finals, you at least got third place.
But don't you just say they were a semifinalist in the World Cup?
Yeah, I suppose.
Have you ever seen a person or a team get the second place trophy after they've just lost a crushing defeat? It's one of the sadder things you ever see. They look so depressed to get it.
Well, of course. You don't play for that. But
hey, that's not what you play for, Brian.
So
ask Cal. He knows.
Then, of course, other than some of the NFL news, Jamarcus Russell with his drink and other things like that.
Purple drink.
You know, the big news, of course, in the sporting world today is LeBron James. And,
what do you think
I'm
of that, Fred?
I am so sick of that.
I'm interested in your thoughts, Fred, because you usually have some interesting perspective on these kinds of shenanigans.
I was talking to No Sox, and I said to him that we'll know from the production value how long ago they had planned this.
I was talking about that yesterday. There's no question this has been in the works for at least a year, if not longer.
So
you don't just come to...
spur of the moment decision.
But I do have a question.
48 hours before.
Why Greenwich, Connecticut? And why does Greenwich, Connecticut have a boys and girls club? Is that for the help?
That is kind of close to that. You know what? I usually make fun of Fred when he does these things, but
that's a good observation.
I couldn't agree more
on
that.
Great observation.
One. Thought the same thing.
It must from because for the kitchen helps. Kids.
Originally, I was like, well, they're trying intentionally to deceive everybody because I don't think he's going to the Knicks. Now, maybe he will, but.
Right,
Greenwich is like minutes away from where the Knicks practice. Jay-Z evidently has a home in Greenwich, so that threw the Nets into play, the Knicks into play, and people were wondering, does this mean anything?
Well, it wasn't some other players getting married this weekend in New York.
Is that why that's
what somebody said that his friend
12-18 Fox News is there.
That could be.
Oh God,
you know.
Now, unfortunately, we can never get our wish with these sort of things. I am. Very much interested in where LeBron James goes, from the NBA perspective and just from a sports perspective.
But I don't want an hour-long special about it.
Probably, I was going to say arguably, but it's probably inarguable. This is the biggest free agent to hit the open market in the history of sports.
Sure, yeah.
I don't think that's hyperbole.
No.
January when Brady.
Brady and Manning are free agents.
They say in the show, he's going to reveal it within the first 10 minutes of the show.
Right. And then what's going to happen in the last 50 minutes?
Yeah.
Is Stuart Scott actually going to get on his knees and do your thing at the barbershop?
Yeah, I don't know. But he's going to reveal it within the first 10 minutes. Now, here's the thing. All these people saying, it's all about the money. It may not be for him. Because
if it's all about the money, he stays in Cleveland.
Right.
To me.
Right. If he goes to Miami... It may be just about winning.
That's what Bosh and Wade supposedly said.
Dwayne Wade is not of the level of LeBron, but he is going to have to share the stage a little bit because that guy's been there for
Dwayne
so long.
Wade. I always think of A Different World. Remember that sitcom? Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. So, you really won't be able to get on him so much about the money, but you will be able to get on him about the narcissism.
Oh, just this whole stupid the decision special.
Even though the show is
ridiculous,
the
Fred.
Proceeds, I guess, for the advertising is going to the Boys and Girls Club again.
Of Greenwich.
Greenwich, Connecticut.
Why do they need the money?
Could LeBron write a check?
Yeah. But it is strange. I think it's a curiosity thing. People are going to want to see it just to see what this thing is all about and to see it firsthand. It's never been done before.
Nor should it.
To have a free agent like that do something like this.
As usual, Eric's really upset about it.
Yeah. I am.
And somebody was saying today, well, you know, even if Peyton Manning or Brady, they couldn't do something like this, it wouldn't hold water. It's true.
You hold a press conference.
The NFL is so much different than the NBA, though. I mean, you can always have that franchise. Guys like Manning or Brady don't get to be full-fledged free agents like LeBron was.
No, but if you don't think that the NFL Network would have something like this?
They might.
Why not?
Yeah, they might.
But you hold a press conference to announce where you've signed.
Well, I mean, we'll see what they do with this thing.
That's what you do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, I understand what your point is, but don't tell me this would never happen with Manning and
Brady. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's what should happen.
Fred is right. We'll probably never get to see it, but if they were to actually hit the open market,
NFL Network would certainly do that without
the franchise tag. I mean, this is a league that has an hour and a half special to unveil the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me they're above putting Brady and Manning on for, you know, a fabricated hour long.
I have no doubt they would do that.
Show. Yeah, they absolutely would.
And I think that.
But for the player to be complicit in it is what annoys me.
Well, that's the part where Fred says.
If ESPN wants
to
hold an hour long thing, fine. That's their programming decision.
Yeah, see, that's the part where I agree with Fred. Put the blame on LeBron for being a drama queen.
See,
an attention whore.
I like
in this case.
LeBron up to the point. When they played in the playoffs last year and they got bounced out, and the first thing LeBron did, and he made a very public showing of it, was take off that Cleveland shirt as if I'm no longer part of this team.
Like Corey Dillon did in Cincinnati when he
very
fell in
similar
the pads in
yeah,
the stands.
Not
and
quite as dramatic as that, right. but it was a very public showing of the shirt's off, I'm no longer a Cavalier. And I just think that.
Very Cavalier attitude he had about it.
To me, that.
Good.
I lost a lot of respect when he did that. You know, similar to how I felt about Asante Samuel the day before the Super Bowl.
The day before the Super Bowl, right, when he made those comments,
You know, the only thing about, and I know we've talked about the LeBron thing after the Celtics knocked him out, that's not all that uncommon in the NBA for the players to take their shirts off as they're walking off the court.
Yeah, but...
That's the only thing I would say. I mean, I understand what your point is. I don't think you're wrong.
Maybe he was preparing
but
for the World
it's
Cup
not
and wanted
all
to trade
that
jerseys
uncommon
with somebody on the other
team. For those
team.
Guys to walk off the court and take their shirts off.
Yeah, no, I
that
I
That happens.
Know. But the way he did it and how quickly he did it after the game, it just I got that feeling that, wow, this guy wants people to know that he's no longer a Cavalier. You know, I just
I think he's going to the Heat. What do you think?
It looks that way.
I think he's staying in Cleveland.
You're shaking your head over there.
I have no.
You think so too?
I have no sources.
It would be so embarrassing for Cleveland if he were to hold this press conference and then choose someone else. More embarrassing for them than.
But it's not
else.
In Cleveland.
Right.
It's not like he's hosting.
I agree
in
with
Cleveland.
You.
But
he's
publicly
like
embarrassing. Them.
I agree. It would be. A devastating shot if he signs anywhere. But to do so...
So why are they making such a big production about it?
With such an hour-long thing...
He's staying
put,
if that's the case.
I think makes it even twice as bad. But there's a reason that you can come up with that he's signing it for any of them. You know, like I told you about the Knicks and the Nets with Greenwich. Jay-Z lives in Greenwich.
Right.
The Knicks practice right there. You know, the Miami thing with Bosh and Wade, they basically came out yesterday and said that they're... over the top, you know, trying to do it. You can make an argument for any of these guys. You know, he was wearing this shirt, this hat, this.
Yeah, he had a Marlins hat on the other day. He had a Yankees hat on.
There was a rumor that the new owner of the Nets flew into Greenwich with his private plane this
morning. Russian guy?
To try to make a last-ditch effort, you know.
But something tells me that.
Is he a spy?
He's going to end up. Wouldn't that be a great story? Something tells me he's going to end up staying in Cleveland. I don't know why. I don't have anything to base that on other than just.
You might
but
be
see,
right.
Why would they, but why would they have a over-the-top one-hour special for a guy who's not leaving?
Because it's the decision. It's not where he's going.
But it would be more of a splash if he goes somewhere.
No, it's not. Not for the NBA, it's not. It's the same. It's where is he going to play next year? That's the big
thing.
Yeah, but
it's sort of a it's anticlimactic if he just stays in. It's like, you know, like the Celtics re-sign Pierce and Allen. Eh, big whoop.
Well, they're not LeBron James.
No, but
if it were Kobe Bryant, it would be more than eh.
Oh, look at all the fans who were eh when, you know, we re-signed Wilfork and Bodden, but we didn't go out and do anything else in the offseason.
Why is
a lot of fans were
guys?
Like,
this guy
it won't be eh if Brady re-signs with the Patriots. That will not be an eh day. It won't be.
No, but it's something more to talk about
that.
If he goes somewhere else.
This is a sport that the roster has 12 guys on it. This is a sport that when you get two superstars, you can win a championship.
Right.
You know, so it's different, and it's a players' league. Everyone, they've said that for a long time now. Guys choose their coaches, for crying out loud. And you know,
I agree.
And LeBron is the best in that league. You know,
I agree. I'm just saying, it's I don't know. When I think free agency, it's more interesting when a guy takes a job somewhere else than stays where he is.
Well, that's a different argument. I agree with you. Is it more interesting? Yeah, but it's not. If he says tonight. You know, I decided after taking all the offers, I'm more comfortable in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's not any less of a big deal. Is it more interesting if he goes to Miami with Bosh and Wade? Yeah.
That's what
absolutely.
I'm saying. That's why I'm saying
it's... But it's not if he stays in Cleveland. It's a huge, impactful decision.
Mind.
Well, you don't really care that much about the NBA. And
well, no, I don't.
To be honest with you, I don't really either. But this is an enormous decision for the NBA. And people care about where he's going next year, whether that's Cleveland, New York, New Jersey, Chicago, Miami, the L.A. Clippers,
when
whatever.
The rumors came out yesterday that he was going to the Knicks, the Madison Square Garden stock rose like 6%. And then today,
this guy is a one-man recession-proof.
And then today, it went down almost 4% because now they think that he's not going. Miami Heat's website couldn't be accessed today because people think he's going there. They're trying to get season tickets. So, I mean, this guy is an economy in and of himself.
Is that where our previous webmaster landed, Miami?
Oh.
I did good. I didn't even use his name.
Good.
I didn't use his name.
It's good.
The other he who shall not be named?
No, I just don't want a lawsuit.
Okay. Patriots news. Sammy Morris did a little press conference today about his camp. Any other?
Yeah.
Anything beyond that?
No.
Just having his
kid. He wants to be a coach someday. Is that what he's saying?
He runs the camp with a friend from Texas Tech. His name is Lemons.
Devin Lemons.
Had a short stint with the Redskins as a linebacker. Played at Texas Tech there. He is currently a high school coach. So they do these camps together. They did one in Lubbock in late June. Going to do one here in Foxborough. When, Eric?
July 15th to 17th. That's a week from today through next Saturday.
Where?
So,
it just said Foxborough. He didn't specify exactly. But you can go to morrislemons.net if you want more information.
Two M's in Lemons?
I believe there's
just one.
One M.
Okay.
It's L-E-M-O-N-S.
Morrislemons.net. .net. Okay. And this is for,
so he talked about, you know, training.
Youth school kids?
Yeah, you know.
His conference call today, he talked about his camp initially and coaching and stuff like that, the drills, but then he kind of morphed into training and some of the things that he's done over the years. And it wasn't really, there was nothing really about the 2010 Patriots. Really nothing about the Patriots, period, was there?
Only just that, you know, he's working out on his own schedule right now.
He did mention that he's trying to get some players, there aren't really many around, but trying to get some players to join him at the camp, and he thinks that...
he mentioned Mayo,
McKenzie. And McKenzie as two possibilities because they're here.
And Mayo's going to be in Providence at a Football for You camp that the Patriots host. I forgot exactly when
Patriots
that date is, but that's coming up.
It's really the New England Patriots
the
alumni,
club. Yes, I should specify. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that was this morning.
Well,
Eric took care of that.
I guess the biggest Patriots story, and we almost forgot to bring it up, and it
happened
since the last show that we had, was this whole Tom Martinez thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the broken ribs with Brady, and, you know, that he did, in fact, play with three broken ribs and played through it.
Wasn't that sort of the scuttlebutt at the time, though?
Well, it's a funny thing. It's not really news, because I think we all kind of thought that was the case.
And remember, we talked about Miami.
You included.
Fred. Yeah.
Now, you thought that Bill was kind of
being
forthright
when he got hurt.
Right, when he threw the pass to Moss.
And afterwards, we were in the locker room, and I said he couldn't even
lift his bag out of his locker room. That's a great point.
Room.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Fred was actually standing right next to me, and he nudged me. And we were watching Brady take his suitcase off the top level of the of his locker. He couldn't do it.
He could barely lift his
arms. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And that's indicate. You know, those are... Ribs, that's a painful injury.
Right, we saw he threw the touchdown to Moss in Miami, got hit on that play, and then immediately jogged
into the locker room
and then came out a few minutes later. But
Now, the part of this story that sort of got some interest over the weekend here was, if you recall, Fred, that Bill was very much the report, everybody kind of thought he had an injury, and people were speculating like we were
about
the ribs.
They listed him with ribs.
Charlie Casserly...
Right.
On NBC, not NBC, CBS's CBS. Pregame show, basically said he's got three broken ribs he's been playing with and a broken finger, and blah, 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 blah. Well, Bill went on EEI. That was a Sunday game pregame show. The next day, that's his weekly Monday thing, and he eviscerated Casserly. I mean, he said, who's been wrong?
That was the weatherman comment.
Who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly? He's got a track record of a meteorologist. He's never right.
I think that, you know, what Bill was doing is playing the word game, and I think that probably.
Not in this case. He flat out called him a liar.
Well, I think he just called him wrong.
Right, and he wasn't wrong.
Not a liar. He just had the wrong source. But I think that what Bill was playing was a word game, and that Casserly wasn't 100% right, so he was wrong.
Okay, well then, based on what Tom Martinez said, Casserly was 100% right.
Well, I don't know, but you know, it reminds me back of when you know Clinton was running for president the first time, and they had that big 60-minute interview with him, and the whole Jennifer Flowers thing had come out, and the first question from Steve Cobb, I think his name is, or the guy from 60 Minutes, was, you know, she's alleging that you had a 12-year affair. And Clinton said, no, that's wrong.
That's not true.
Well, maybe it was 12 and a half.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it was 11.
What he was denying
but
was the 12 years.
But that's not what the case was.
I think it was, Paul.
Fred, listen. Yeah. I want to start off because I know where this is going to go. And I want to start off by saying emphatically again, and I've always maintained this, I don't care if they don't tell us about injuries. I don't care if they lie to us about injuries. I think the injury report itself is antiquated and doesn't belong in the NFL. It's well within the team's rights to hide or do whatever they deem fit with injuries. I have no problem with that. I want to state that very clearly. It's not about the fact that Bill didn't give us the information because he doesn't have to give us the information,
right.
And it doesn't matter to me whether he does or not. In this particular case, Charlie Casserly had information here that Bill deemed incorrect.
Right.
It was not incorrect.
Paul, I guarantee you that Bill...
There was no reason for Bill
listen,
to completely destroy Casserly the way he did.
There's no way he would have done that unless there was something in what Charlie Casserly said that was incorrect.
But you're missing the point. He didn't question the report based on semantics. He questioned the guy's character. He said, who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly?
Right.
Yeah.
This was not a semantic
thing. He was
upset with Casserly.
Well, I think.
And he lashed out.
Not just the report.
But not just
and according
because of
to
that.
Tom Martinez,
yep.
Casserly was right.
Well, there's still the exact nature, degree of the injury is still
but
up for
again,
up for
you're
debate.
Missing the point here.
You know, Tom Martinez isn't a doctor either.
No,
you know,
but like Paul's saying, Bill impugned the guy's
and I think
if Bill had said,
character.
But listen, if Bill had said, I think that's you know, listen, we're all dealing with injuries at this time of year. You know, I think Charlie may have gotten some inaccurate information there or something like that. I would say that's what you're talking about. That's not what Bill did.
Mm-mm.
Bill took it as an opportunity to play batting practice
Absolutely.
With a guy he clearly has some disdain for.
Absolutely. I agree with that. He took it as an opportunity to make fun of this guy, not just for that, but for other things that probably in the past
that
he said or done that he didn't
right.
like.
And some people have said there was a trade story that had come out that Casserly was the source about, and Bill got upset about it and whatever. So,
but I don't think
I don't know
Bill
if
would have
true
done that unless he could hang his hat on some inaccuracy. Now, could 90% of what Casserly said been accurate and 10% inaccurate? Yeah. And I think that's what Bill was probably playing around with, was that 10% that, well, you know.
Based on this, I'm going to stand behind what I thought at the time anyway. I think Casherly was 100% correct. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. But we know, 100%. That, we know that Brady had a rib injury.
And a finger.
And a finger injury. And that he played through it without complaining. And in today's any sport, wow, that's pretty cool.
Actually,
I watched Roger Federer after losing in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I have injuries and blah, blah, blah. And they went back to Martina Navratilova and I'm really surprised, knowing Roger, that, you know, he even mentioned the injuries, you know. It's easy to do that. We saw, his name, Ellis Hobbs mm-hmm. here.
Couldn't wait to tell us.
You know, after the Super Bowl that he had
an injury. Couldn't wait to tell us all the ailments that he was dealing
with. You know, so I think Brady.
But in their defense, when there has to be this cloak of secrecy around
it. It's very hard.
It's very hard for the player to stand by and hear all this criticism and think, there's a reason. It's not an excuse necessarily.
I actually agree with you 100%, Eric, and this is why it's the other side of what I started off with. I don't care that they don't tell us about injuries. I also don't care when players do tell us, because I do think there's an element. And remember, Tyrone Poole was very outspoken about it. Adrian Clem was very outspoken. These players get a lot of criticism for their poor play, and yet they're not allowed to tell you they're playing at less than 100%. So I don't have a problem with that. Some of them don't worry about it. Some of them ignore the media. Mm-hmm. Guys like Ellis Hobbs, they had a hard time ignoring the media. I mean, Ellis was great. I mean, Ellis liked
the talk. Understatement of the year.
Okay? But I remember Tyrone Poole walking in that locker room that day with the crutches when we had no idea he was even hurt.
Right.
He was basically saying, this is why I'm struggling this year. And then he brought everybody over and he said the whole speech. This is before you were here, Eric, I think. But I'm a grown man and I don't need another grown man to tell me what I can and can't say.
Right.
And that was the whole gist of his thing, was I'm letting you know right now,
yep,
I'm not playing at 100%. This is why. And he had knee surgery that year, if you recall. I think it was
2004.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, I think everybody agrees with Paul when it comes to the injury report.
I don't care
itself,
if they tell us. I don't care.
And the rules around it. It just doesn't work. Florio had a piece, I think, about a week ago, I think just when this Martinez story came out, that they need to do something. Because if the reason for having an injury report and having these rules for reporting is to limit the amount of information that can be sold to the underworld in gambling, then they're not doing a good job. Because obviously, there's still valuable information out there. You know, if you look at it in retrospect, you know, Brady's numbers were there, but his mobility certainly wasn't, and it wasn't just his knee. You know, a little hesitation as to when to run. I distinctly remember a play, I think it was in the first game against the Ravens, where he could have made it to the end zone, and instead, I forget what he did.
That was in the playoff game. He threw the touchdown to Edelman, and he had a clear lane open to run it in.
You're right.
He did score a touchdown, though. So.
He did end up scoring, but it was like, wow, Brady usually would have just headed right in there.
Yeah.
And I think that did affect his decision-making.
Oh, by the way, I just want to read the quote, because Brian got it. And I think this is why I disagree with you on the semantics thing.
Okay.
Who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly since he left the Redskins? His percentage is like a meteorologist. He has no relationship to this team. I'd say less than zero. Based on what? He's never had a practice, never had a game. At least he put his name on it, which is more than a lot of guys. But like he usually is, he was 100% wrong. That's not standing behind semantics and saying that they were cracked ribs and not fractured or whatever you want to give him as an out. He was flat out calling this guy's character into question, saying he lied. He made something up.
Yeah.
Well,
he was 100% wrong.
There's a difference between
there's no gray area.
I don't think he's calling him a liar, you know, because he's basing it on.
Casserly said something that Belichick said was wrong.
But that doesn't make him a liar.
He could have had bad information.
He made it up.
Well, no, but he could have had bad sources.
Bad sources.
That's legitimate.
That doesn't make him a liar.
I just want to know what he would have to do to you before you would say,
well, Paul, let's be fair. Let's be objective.
Being objective.
He did not call him a liar. He said he was wrong.
Did Belichick lie?
I don't know. But he did not.
You don't know.
He did not call Lombardi a liar.
Okay. All right. Well, he did not call Casserly a liar. Okay.
I mean, was Vic Carucci a liar?
I can't.
When he came on this show and said Julius Peppers was going to the
Patriots? I can't dispute that, because I just read the quote and he doesn't say that he's a liar.
Was Vic Carucci a liar?
You're right.
When he came on and was wrong about Julius Peppers?
I have no idea.
He's not a liar.
I have
he
no
was
idea.
Wrong. He had bad sources.
I have no idea if he lied.
Well,
I have no idea.
But you're not going to jump to the conclusion
case,
he lied.
No.
Well, he could have had good sources, and then the
I'm not jumping to any conclusions.
There's a million
Wait a
reasons
minute.
Why what he said.
Don't
was...
make this about me. I'm not jumping to any conclusions that anyone lied. Belichick is, not me.
He didn't say he lied. He said
so
he
ask
was
him
wrong.
If he had any sources.
No. If he jumped on Vic Carucci for saying Julius Peppers is coming here and said, no, he's wrong. He's 100% wrong. That doesn't mean he's calling Vic Carucci a liar.
Okay. I just said, I read the whole paragraph just now, and you're right. He doesn't call him a liar. You're right.
He calls him wrong.
He calls him wrong.
Right.
Belichick lied. Because he wasn't wrong. He was
well,
right.
Again, what is Belichick addressing there? I don't think that he lied either. I think he was playing semantics.
But he's saying, he's taking that out of the equation. No. He's not saying, yeah, he's not totally right there. Yeah. He's a bit of, he's got some incorrect information.
Well,
that he said,
well,
flat out, he was 100% wrong.
What we need to go back and now read Charlie Cassidy's quote on that Sunday morning.
He said
morning.
He had three broken ribs and a broken finger. Three cracked ribs, I think, was the word he used, and a broken finger.
Well, we'd have to look at that exact quote. Because,
you look that up?
Yeah.
Ryan?
Because,
but
again,
why are you doing this? Why can't you just say that he was wrong?
Who?
Belichick.
I don't know.
He was incorrect to attack this guy for a report that was, by all accounts, correct, Fred.
We don't know how correct that report was. We don't know,
all right,
Paul.
Then we can just move on. Then.
We don't know.
Let's move on.
And again,
I don't want to waste the whole show with you and I bickering back and forth.
My contention is, if I'm Bill Belichick, as much as, you know, whatever past I have with Lombardi, I don't come out that strong if Lombardi's 100% correct.
Unless you know that it will be eaten up with a spoon by your adoring fans and media. And
no.
We all are guilty of it. This is not me making fun of anybody else.
I think Bella,
but he knows where he is. He's on the big show, and everybody's going to go, oh, meteorologist Bill.
Well, okay.
But I also think that Belichick's smart enough to know that the truth usually comes out. These people.
But look at how it comes out.
They can't keep
it
their
comes
mouth.
Out with Brady's personal throwing
they
coach.
Can't keep
yeah.
It. But how do?
What are the odds that's going to happen?
And you telling me Tom Martinez is lying?
I don't. Again, why are we going to lying? Why are we jumping to lying?
Let's get the word lie out. Do you think? Who do you think was right and who do you think was wrong?
I don't.
And don't give me a semantics thing. Tell me who you think was right and who do you think was wrong.
I think there could be a level of inaccuracy in every one of Belichick's statements,
really?
A Lombardi statement.
You really think that?
Yes.
Cassidy, you mean.
But you honestly think there was an element.
I said Lombardi before,
yeah.
Too.
You honestly think there's an element of incorrect?
There could be.
To Cassidy's thing? When he has another guy who's as close to Brady as anybody
saying
the same thing?
I want to hear what Cassidy said.
All right, he's looking that up. But you might have thought Lombardi, though, because Lombardi did make some news this week. On Total Access last night, I guess, or the night before, he said that, according to his sources or whatever, Wes Welker is ahead of schedule in his rehab.
Right, well, we all thought that, right?
No, we all kind of said that, too. But apparently he had some other information. But
he said that he thinks he'll be participating at some point in training.
Yeah, he had a little bit more specifics about it.
But that's significant because if he participates in training camp, he can't go on PUP.
Yeah, but even what Lombardi said was he posed it as could happen. I don't think he said someone is telling me that this is what's
going to
happen.
No, what he said will not be a lie.
Right. Well,
that I agree with you. Either way it happens, whatever
Lombardi
way
said,
it comes out.
Here's the report. Lombardi said Welker won't be a full participant.
That's the key word.
When
right
training
there.
Camp begins in late July, but the receiver is making enough progress in his rehab that he'll probably be cleared for team workouts at some point during training camp.
But that's very significant because if that happens, if he's right, he cannot open the season on PUP.
Right.
Yeah.
But as far as judging the accuracy of that statement, forget about the
a lot of qualifiers in there.
Forget about what happens if it's true. You can't say, well, Lombardi, you said he was going. No, I said he was likely. I said it probably could happen. And if it did, you know, so.
No, but I think to Paul's point, I don't expect Bill to go on EEI tomorrow and say that Mike Lombardi, you know, who's wrong more times than him, and come out and say, you know, there's no way that Welker's ahead of schedule and that he's going to do any of this stuff.
The other thing you have.
He had a bone to pick with Casserly.
Yes.
And he used that opportunity to impugn the
guy. Also was protecting his quarterback. You know, the last thing you want.
But everybody knew. Everybody kind of was talking about that.
Right.
You could see him pulling on the finger on the sidelines. Oh, that was caught on
the finger. But you don't want guys taking a shot at your quarterback's ribs to take him out of the game because he's a little vulnerable.
But everybody saw him running to the locker room.
I think
and everybody saw
Bill
him come back with a little heftier around the midsection.
Thing was like, that was before the Texans game, wasn't it?
It was late in the season.
That might have been later in the season.
Much later in the season.
But people were sort of talking about because they saw him pulling on the finger.
Wait, it was much later in the season than what?
Than when it happened, the Miami game.
Miami game was in November.
It was like 2 weeks earlier. It was in December.
Yeah, it was only
a few weeks
later.
The Miami game was in December, and this was at the end of December.
Okay, well.
It was late in this. It was one of the last four games. Last five games.
The Miami game was.
It was like Miami, Carolina, Jacksonville.
The Miami game was December 6th, and the Houston game was January 3rd.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm thinking of? This is, again, I think on that same day, Shalise Manzi-Young intimated that he had hurt his ribs against the Jets in week two. That's what I was thinking about. And I think that's inaccurate.
I don't remember that report.
I distinctly remember it.
Listen, he may have originally hurt the ribs as far back as the summer in Washington when Albert Haynesworth.
Exactly. That's a good point.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
But the fact is the coach flat out denied the fact that he had an injury. I don't care that he did that.
No, he didn't. He did not deny that he had an
injury. One guy said he had an injury. Belichick said that's 100% wrong.
He did not deny that he had an injury. He did not deny.
I'm sorry. He flat out denied that he had a rib and finger injury.
He denied the accuracy of Lombardi's report.
First of all, it's Casserly.
Castle. I keep saying he denied the accuracy.
One's a rump swab, one's
him.
A journalist.
They listed him with ribs and finger every week. So they're not denying that he had an injury.
But he's denying that the injury was what
exactly
Casserly said.
Exactly what Casserly was saying.
And that appears to be wrong.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that. And you don't either.
You know what I think? I think if Bill
and
heard,
I don't think he would have come out as strong as he did.
I think if Bill heard people defending him on this, he'd be laughing his butt off. Because I think Bill did what he did for the exact reason that you said. He's protecting his quarterback, and he'd do it again.
Yeah.
He'd do it tomorrow.
But I don't.
And I think right now, if he heard people saying, well, Bill didn't necessarily, I think he'd laugh his butt off.
Yeah, but I don't.
I think he'd find it hysterical.
I
think that's how he thinks he needs to do it.
I don't think he would have come out so personally.
Why? Why do you not think that?
Unless he could point to something and say, see, this is where he was wrong.
He made it personal because he doesn't like the guy.
Right.
I think he would have done
but
the same.
Even if he doesn't like him, you don't do
that. He would have denied it to anybody. He made it personal with Casserly because he has an issue with him.
If what
I don't care about that. I'm all for petty
arguments.
But
if what Casserly was saying was 100% accurate, I think he wouldn't have taken the tack that he did.
Listen. I started this whole thing by saying I really don't care that Bill did this,
wow.
and I insist on and I stay with this. I
We've
don't
reached
care.
That point in the show,
but I find it amazing that anybody could look at the facts and say that Bill wasn't necessarily wrong.
What are the facts?
The facts are that one guy reported that he had broken ribs and a broken finger. Another guy reported the same thing, and in between, the coach called one guy 100% wrong.
We're still waiting for what exactly Casserly said.
Why do you need to know exactly what he
said? Because that is what Bill was making fun of.
No, it's not. He was saying that he didn't have broken ribs and a broken finger.
And he said the guy is wrong all the time.
Well.
Almost all of the time.
And.
Which is taking it a step further.
And what?
And people, I remember people making fun of him at Washington.
For what?
For making bad decisions.
Name one.
I don't know, but
okay.
I remember people making fun of him.
I just wanted to make sure you had all the facts that you were bringing to the story.
I
find it amazing that the guy's quarterback, the guy's passing coach, throwing coach since his junior varsity career in high school, says exactly what Casserly said, but Belichick denying it.
Well,
he wasn't wrong.
Again,
not
see,
using the word liar because I know you don't like that word.
I want to see if it's exactly what Casserly said.
But
for one,
again, if one guy said
having a hard time,
if one guy said broken ribs and the other guy said cracked ribs, are you going to say that that's not the same?
Speaks volumes, though, that you can
is
find
that, is that the semantics that you're going to
you
fall back on?
No,
because he said
report.
He had broken ribs and a broken finger, and Martinez said the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't care what specific term they used. That's what they were saying. That's what Bill called 100% wrong. You can stand behind your semantics all you want. That's what Bill said was 100% wrong. And again, if Bill thinks that that helps his team, I don't have a problem with it. But you got to say what he did. You got to say what it is. To use his thing, it is what it is. He was protecting his player. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But how anyone can say that he wasn't incorrect
in
bashing Charlie Casserly for it.
Again, obviously Casserly was not 100% wrong.
Obviously.
You know, but I will stand by. I don't think Belichick would have made it so personal and taken a personal shot at him if he couldn't hang his hat on whatever it was that wasn't accurate. Because
I just don't know how you
think that's below him?
I don't know how you could have watched this guy's career. I don't know how you could watch this guy's career and be surprised that he would do that.
I just don't think he would, unless he could, fall back on something. You know, he wouldn't put himself
out
there.
He doesn't care. What does Bill care if someone says, well, Bill was really, that was unfair what he did to Cal. What does Bill care?
Yeah, I think he does.
Why?
I don't think he does.
All he cares about is winning games, and that's all he should be caring about.
He sure cares about when people do it to him.
that's the enigma that is Bill Belichick.
Well, I think,
and you have enough experience with him to know that that's part of the package there.
Yeah, depending on who it is, I think he does care.
Yeah, I mean, if I said it, he wouldn't care, but if someone like Bob Glauber said it, he would care.
That's not true. He does care when you say it. It hurts more when you say it.
No, what I'm saying is, he doesn't have a personal relationship. If Peter King said it, I don't think he'd care.
I think he would.
I don't think he would. I don't think he has much respect for Peter King. It's just my opinion.
No. I think he looks at the stage that Peter King has.
If Rick Gosselin said it, I think he'd care.
Why don't we get Bill on the phone
and
ask him?
Yeah. I think that's
Tacoma,
a guy.
Can you call Nantucket?
I think that's a guy that he really respects.
Ship to shore.
What else we got for emails, by the way?
We got a lot of emails.
I'm really disappointed. I thought that crack about the World Cup fight would generate a little more interest.
Well, maybe it did, but, Fred hasn't read any emails yet. Have you even given out the email address and the phone number?
We have a guy who's been on the phone for about 40 minutes.
We do?
Oh, dear God.
Who?
Brad from the Eastern Shore.
All right, Brad. Sorry about that. We just got caught up a little bit. What's going on, Brad?
At least it was more entertaining than talking about Gillette razors.
Well, we throw it all in there.
Yeah, so, that's when he called when you guys were talking about razors.
We have to get it all in.
Well, see, I called and it got more exciting. So that's my job is done for the day.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right, then. We'll talk to you.
I was going to say, you can tell it's the offseason when we're arguing about Charlie Casserly, who, by the way, having lived down here for 21 years, he is not held in high esteem in the greater Washington, D.C. area.
And not held in high esteem in the New England area either, I can tell you that.
he made several pretty poor decisions near the end.
Was he involved in any of the Super Bowls with Washington? Which one?
I think he was involved in the 83 one.
Oh, he was with them back that far?
Yeah, I think so.
Thought that was the Bobby Bethard era.
I think he would be involved in the later ones, not the earlier ones, but I don't know.
Oh,
sure.
No, what am I saying? The Doug Williams one.
Yeah, okay.
The Doug Williams one.
87.
That was Charlie Casserly. Aren't we glad that all the emailers that were jumping on, hey, shouldn't we bring in Russell for a try? I mean... Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing over the weekend, Brad. Honestly, I thought the same thing.
It was like, wow, how can we be so desperate to think that this guy was going to be a fit for the Patriots?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm glad we haven't gotten any of those emails either.
I don't feel any differently because this purple drank thing, as Fred puts it, but he flat out can't play.
No, but I meant it was just like the icing on the cake.
I agree. I know where you were coming from. I agree with you. But he can't. I mean, he can't play.
I thought CBS had a great great headline there that says people just don't care. he has fallen from grace. I truly think he has supplanted Ryan Leaf as the biggest bust in the NFL now.
You might be right. I think he has.
You might be right.
And not by a whole lot.
You might look at it as simply he was one, and Leaf was two.
That's right.
Right, and not only that, but it also shows.
You taking us off speaker? What's going on?
Sorry, I'm sorry. My phone started ringing. It also shows that the money end of it. I mean, the money the Chargers gave Leaf. Was a drop in the bucket compared to what Oakland
gave. But not at the time. Not for the time, though.
Not at the time.
I meant the overall. So in the scheme of it,
I would have a big check mark against Russell to back up your point again with the fact that everybody was in total agreement in 98? It was Manning and Leaf.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Manning and Leaf, they were going 1-2, 32 team. Well, whatever amount of teams were at the time, I think it was
I think it was 30.
It must have been 30.
Yeah.
Everybody was in agreement. No questions. It was Manning and Leaf. The only question was some people had Leaf ahead of Manning.
Right.
Others.
It was like
Manning
93 with Bledsoe and Meyer.
Yep.
So the fact that with Russell, it wasn't universal that he was the number one
Oakland
overall pick.
If you remember, Oakland was trying like crazy to move out of number one pick.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to trade up to it.
Yeah. And I think there's a big difference there when you're talking, you know, listen. We're talking about degree of busts. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
they're
just,
very close, by the way.
It's just fun. It's just fun. It's
there's not much
it's
room
not,
in between
There's
them.
No right or wrong answer. It's just fun. But I think that comes into play. When you have a guy that everybody thought was going to be
and
good.
Here's
and
another
guy who, if you asked the 32 teams about Jamarcus Russell, I bet you would have got at least half that said, I'm not sure he's a first-round pick.
Well, and here's another difference. I think, what was it, the Cowboys gave Leaf a second chance or a third chance or whatever it was. I don't think Jamarcus Russell, not especially after this thing, is going to get any chances from anybody.
Yeah,
I think he's completely ended his.
But he may have.
He might be wrong on that.
Yeah.
He might come back as a defensive tackle.
when he gains another 20 pounds.
Right.
He might
he's
have.
He's not that
though.
Far off
I mean,
that,
if he doesn't get one, we'll never know if he wouldn't have. You know?
Right.
No, exactly. On the LeBron situation, I loved Eric's comment. That was excellent, Eric's comment.
Refresh my memory. What did he say?
I don't know now. It's been so long. Drew Greenberg, I'm on hold for 40 minutes, right? I actually wrote it down. I said, Eric's comment, so true. I think it was about the
fact that he's complicit in the whole thing.
Oh,
like,
well,
if ESPN wants to hold an hour-long special, that's their programming decision.
Right, but it's a setup. Eric's comment was kind of like, this has all been a setup.
Oh, God, this has been in the work. It's had to have been in the works for over a year.
Right. Kamani thinks that Eric's thick. He says he doesn't understand the whole LeBron thing.
But I wrote down NBA will always be third, no matter what they do. And I thought it was very interesting. I work out very early in the morning before I go to work. And
why aren't you just a go-getter?
At 6 o'clock.
So does Paul.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, ESPN is splashing nonstop.
Yeah.
Sources say that he's signing with Miami.
Yeah.
And yet, 15 hours later, they're going to sit through a one-hour program that he signs with Miami?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
That's
it's a farce.
No, but I was saying to somebody in the gym, I said, you know what? If this is true, if I was LeBron and I am signing with Miami, I'd pull it. I wouldn't show up. I'd say, you screwed me. You broke this thing at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, no, because people
It'll
are still speculating.
It'll never happen with him, though, because he's too much.
He's a glory.
Oh, I know that.
Too,
but I meant
too much into the attention.
To me, I would be livid that my own station scooped my own premiere.
Yeah. Well, that,
9 o'clock
I laughed because they had the big thing yesterday where they said the ESPN higher-ups said that if any of our reporters come by the information independently, we will not prevent them from reporting on the situation,
right?
You know, for the integrity of the show,
right?
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, much like this whole thing, don't insult me,
right?
Don't insult
me. Yeah, I actually had SportsCenter on for a few minutes when they had like the guest analyst. I don't even remember who it was, but he was telling the host, I think it was Chris McKendry, that he knew he had definitive information where LeBron was going, but I can't say anything. I'm not going to say anything right now. I was like, get the hell out of here.
You sure he wasn't
just
joking?
He was serious because she asked him again, and he says, yes, I have the information, but I'm not going to reveal it.
I have become so sickened by the attitude of the NBA and the style of play. I mean, I'm old enough. I'm back in Paul's era that you know, you couldn't take off from three-point line and dunk. I mean, you got to take at least three steps to do that.
Well, you'd rip down the peach basket if you
did. Well, not that far back. Oh, but, you know, you can't rotate the ball from the underside of the hand to the overside of the hand. And a comment on that, I was watching online the Celtics summer camp game, believe it or not.
Did you see my boy?
Who?
Matt Janning?
Yeah.
20.6 rebounds yesterday?
Right. But they called 9 palming calls.
Oh, that's. I wish they did that more.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. How you won't see 9 palming calls in a season?
Oh my God!
You know.
Yeah, your point is they should be calling them.
Yes, no, but I'm saying, but you won't see 9 palming calls called in a whole season.
Oh
in the
well,
NBA.
That you know, I mean, I know your point is they do they palm the ball a lot more often than they get called.
Yeah.
But I think Rondo got called for 4 or 5 times in the playoffs.
He did.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because it's like, wait a minute. How many times have we seen the move that Jordan put on Elo to win the game, you know, with Chicago,
yep,
where his hand is totally under the ball, Elo's in perfect defensive position, and he rotates the ball all the way over as he pushes him off, mm-hmm, and takes a shot.
Yeah.
You know, that's been that was the year I quit watching basketball. Couple other quick things. I really am enjoying the rookie write-ups. You guys are doing a great job on that. Good job, Andy.
Yeah, Ferreira.
But those are really well done. It's nice to get some input, you know, on these guys that are coming in. And I would rather hear about the family life of the guy who lines the field than any more LeBron talk today.
Wow. So you're not going to be watching the show tonight, I think.
We'll see if we can get Bankston.
You know what's funny
is
I am really interested into where he goes. I have no interest in watching an hour-long
show. I'm interested
too,
but
to find out. I'll, you know,
hold your press conference.
It's okay that I'm not going to be the first to find out, and I won't be the first to tweet, but you know what? I'm pretty confident that, you know, around the time, within an hour of when everybody else finds out, I'll find out, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Well, see, the hardest part for me socially is basketball is what it is. I mean, we know the transformation that's taken place over the last 25 years in basketball. And you guys hit it on the head. There are only 12 guys on a team, and yet how many millions of kids grow up thinking they're going to make it to the NBA?
Sure.
You know, you can have a seventh-round draft pick.
Any other sport, really.
Huh?
It's kind of the same in every
other
sport.
Well, it really isn't, though, because baseball has, what, 40 rounds?
Well, okay.
Football has 7, plus all the free agents that get signed.
And maybe hockey, you could say.
And hockey has many.
Yeah.
You get to basketball, really and truly, name a second-round draft pick that really shines out. I mean, you're basically talking about 28 guys that have a chance of making a team out of thousands that play.
Eric Williams.
What?
Eric Williams? Wasn't he a second-round pick?
I think he was a first, but Big Baby was a second-round pick.
Big Baby was a second-round pick.
Oh, I'm thinking of Gomes.
Nick Van Exel was a second-round
pick. Ryan Gomes?
But, I mean, they're few.
Enough with the Providence.
But that's less than 60 guys that you're talking about, you know. And what's the chances of them? But yet they market, the NBA markets like it is, you know, this is your chance to make it to the NBA, you know, play basketball. And it's to me, I think they need to have a whole different league system where you have all these, you know, they're the only league. Do you guys realize that they're the only league that has no semi-pro, you know, no minor league?
What are you talking about?
It's called college, NCAA.
You're talking about basketball?
Yeah, basketball.
Or football?
No, basketball. Because
basketball has a minor league. Just
well, these development.
Every bit as big as football. I mean, football doesn't have a minor league.
These development leagues. No, but football has 53 guys on the team, plus or 52 now, plus 8 on a practice squad. So you almost have your minor leaguers, you know, sitting there. In other words, let's pick on Larson, seeing as Andy just did the write-up on him. Do we really expect Larson to start this year?
No.
Okay, so therefore he's automatically a backup. Do we even expect him to be the first backup off the bench?
No.
No. So where do you place him?
Well, it all depends if he can play or not. If
he's right, good but I meant...
If he's good enough to be on the roster, he'll be on the roster like Rich Ornberger was last year.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying he's not good enough. I mean, but we're not expecting him to be a contributing factor.
Well, I don't know.
So
no,
football
I wouldn't
has...
expect that, but stranger things have happened.
You know, with Mankin's situation,
I didn't
you
expect,
never know what's going to happen. If Steve Neal gets hurt,
you go
now
back,
you're down two guards.
If you go back about 7 years, Dan Copeland was taken in the 5th round as a center that year, and
right. They
already had, you know, Damian Woody and all
but
those
Woody
guys.
Couldn't shotgun snap to save
But that's not
life.
Why Copeland played. Copeland played because Woody got hurt.
Well, but
and all of a sudden, Copeland got a job.
He also couldn't shotgun snap to save his life.
I know,
Woody
but that's
guard,
not why
actually,
he played.
In that Super Bowl?
He might have been, but who was the center that got
Compton.
Who got hurt in 03?
No, you're right. Woody got hurt, but Copeland was already playing because
was that already passed?
Yeah, I'll look it up as I'm talking. But
no,
the
I know,
point is,
no,
he was a fifth-round rookie who wasn't expected to play a down, and he played at a starting level almost the whole season.
Right. No, what I'm saying is, though, that you have guys – you have enough guys on a football team. In other words, you know, 22 and 22 is 44. So
it was
two
Mike
complete
Compton.
Teams.
It was Mike Compton. He got hurt. He played two games.
Yeah, it was Mike Compton.
Hurt.
Right.
in 03. I thought he was gone in 02.
Because Compton would play guard, and then he'd on third down, he'd
right.
switch over to play center.
Yeah, that's how they played in 01.
To do the shotgun snap.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Hey, have a great one. I missed you on Tuesday. I was all psyched to listen, and then I remembered you guys said you weren't going to be on the
air.
Yeah,
no one was here.
Okay, Brad.
Would have been funny if you called in and were on hold for 2 hours.
No.
They'll get to me soon.
Have fun on the shore.
Take care.
Thanks.
Mac from Somerville has the quote from Cassily.
I thought you had it.
January 3rd, 2010 CBS pregame show. James Brown says, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has been on the injury report, Charlie, but what's the extent of his injuries? Cowersy says, I'll tell you, JB, he's got three broken ribs. Now, he's been playing with these for the last couple of weeks. Today I expect him to play, but not a lot.
So what was inaccurate about that?
What if he hurt him in the Jets game?
The only thing that was wrong...
But that
was
would
that
make him
played...
100% wrong. That
right.
would that would
yeah,
make
see,
him 100%
wrong.
There's
nothing that he could have said that would have made you
that would make him
any,
less
any,
than 1%
any leg to stand
but
on. Semantic. The only thing that he ended up being wrong about on that was he did play a lot against Houston.
Okay, so there's three things he said. He's got three broken ribs, that he's been playing with him for the last couple of weeks, and that he won't play a lot today. So there's three things that Belichick could have.
And he left out the finger.
Right, but
right?
he didn't.
He left out the finger.
But he didn't latch on to any of those. He said he was 100% wrong.
And
he wasn't.
And in his mind, he could have been saying 100% wrong about him playing, about the last couple of weeks.
Okay,
maybe
this is why
the injury
we just
happened
need,
earlier.
But he wouldn't
maybe
stop.
He had four broken
That
ribs.
Means
okay,
he's less than 100%
then.
Wrong.
You got the quote. You found out what he said. You still don't buy it. So let's just move on.
Okay.
It's really kind of a waste of time. We're spinning our wheels. Even more so than I normally am in my senseless arguments.
As
there's,
no,
there's nothing that he could say, nothing that he could do that you would say, well, Bill was wrong.
No.
So that's okay.
I
that's fine.
Look, maybe I wouldn't do what Bill did, but all I'm saying in that argument is that I know Bill knew
why
there was
do
something.
You think you know him? That's my question.
Maybe because I've been here for, you know, as
and
long,
I can't believe that you don't think he's done this many times over the years.
I've
I'm stunned by it.
Except for Freddie Mitchell, who, you know,
Pete Kendall, Charlie Casserly. He's taken all kinds of shots at guys.
Yeah, I've never seen it like that where, you know, this guy's job is to report
the genius
on
the, who was the guy, league.
Yeah, the genius. Is that, who was the guy last year? There was a game coming up, and he was criticizing them for some. It was toward the end of the season.
I just know that Belichick.
We were all surprised by it. He talked about it in a press conference. Somebody, it was a defensive back.
I don't know.
I can't
but
remember
my
now.
My point is
at the time we were all saying
there
I can't
are a handful
you said
of
that.
Examples where he has sort of taken the opportunity to lash out and take a shot.
Sure.
And I don't care. Listen, I'm not criticizing him for taking the shot. I'm just saying when you learn later that he was wrong in taking the shot, you have to acknowledge it.
Well,
most people do.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm
I mean, I don't know how you can read what you just read. And
all
read
I'm,
this and say that he
I'm
wasn't wrong.
That when Belichick says he was 100% wrong, I'm sure he knew what he was talking about. It wasn't, you know, maybe it was, you know, the accuracy of that wasn't.
But it wasn't 100%.
It wasn't 100%
accurate. So he was wrong to say it was 100% wrong.
You know, so.
Because he had three broken ribs.
Yeah, but.
So he wasn't 100% wrong.
In his mind, either you're right or you're wrong. You know,
I told you, just stop. I don't know why you keep going.
I'm sorry.
You know,
you're playing the role of me now.
You're right.
You won't
you're
let
right.
it die.
You're right.
TG and NJ says, Squidward, who are you to complain about Andy taking time off? Don't you abuse that privilege yourself? If not, Fred sure makes it seem that way. Oh, and Fred, Squidward was right. I gave him that name, not you. You're such a piece of work, and you created the internet too. What name?
Squidward.
I gave him the
no,
name.
No, TG did.
I have never heard anybody call him Squidward except for Fred to my son. Now, that doesn't... Look, TG has offered a lot to this show.
He may have done
it well. I'm not,
first
I'm
time
not,
I ever heard it was from
listen,
him.
Unlike Bill Belichick, TG, I am not calling your character into question in any way, shape, or form.
We're not calling you a liar.
Fred says you're 100% wrong.
I remember coming up with that and telling you.
The first time I ever heard it was when you said that to Will.
Yeah.
Is this like when you invented that joke about
the
bathroom?
Internet?
Oh. About the toilet?
I did invent that.
If I want my body,
save
my body the trouble.
Certain types of food.
Ghana, Korea.
One football question. Does the DeBrickashaw contract mess things up for the other teams with their players holding out, thinking about the Chargers here? And now what are Revis and Mengel thinking?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I was thinking about how that affects Mankin situation, even though he's not a guard. Well,
they gave him a lot of money, and they're claiming that they have to, you know, this whole nonsense about the uncertainty, you can't fall back on that if you're going to give one guy a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they have plans to take care of Revis and Mangold. Now, Revis to me is a different story. As great as he is, and I have a lot of respect for him as a player, he has 3 years left on his deal.
I know.
That's a long time.
I know.
Guys don't get that contract with 3 years left on a regular basis. I'm not saying they never do before someone, you know, I don't know. What did Patrick Willis have left?
I think he had two left,
but maybe he had three. But as a rule, guys don't get taken care of that far in advance.
Especially
to
a guy
the
like
extent that usually when that happens,
you take less.
You take a little less to get the early security.
Right.
And evidently he's not looking to do that.
Right.
Well, especially
but
for
I do
a guy
think
like
that could be a problem for
and
the
especially
Jets.
For a guy like DeBrick who's had a sort of an up and down career so far. It's not like he's been like
they
a steady pro. It's not like Patrick Willis,
no,
who's been
you're right
a great
that.
Player all the way along.
I think that they gave him money
this
like
came out
he
of nowhere.
Was. They gave him money like he was Ogden or Pace, and he's not. I think he's a better player than he's given credit for around here, based on what I've read. You know, not that I'm watching the offensive line for the New York Jets and up close and personal every week, but he's not one of those elite tackles. He's not one of the two best tackles. Now he's the highest paid guy in the league, right?
I don't know.
I think he's the highest paid offensive lineman in football now.
I think that's right.
We all know how those things work. The next guy that signs will supplant him. But he's got like $34 million guaranteed or something like that. That's a high number for a guy who Eric is right. I mean, he's sort of had an uneven career.
Yeah.
Ferguson had 2 years remaining on his $37.5 million initial contract, according to Schefter. So now he'll be tied to the Jets for 8 years, $73.6 million. The money guaranteed is $34.8, so basically $35 million. A record for an O-lineman surpassing the $30 million in guarantees that Jake Long got as the number one overall pick.
So I think it will be interesting to see what Mangold and Revis, how they react. Because I do think that's a concern. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I wasn't necessarily a huge believer in, let's see how it all comes together in New York. These are the things that bother teams. That's why I'm more concerned about Mankins than a lot of other people are.
Yeah.
Those are the things I think that can disrupt the apple cart.
Right.
I think last year, for example, Vince Wilfork did everything he was asked to do as he was hoping to get his contract, but little more, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think necessarily he was as outspoken. You know, how much do we hear Mr. Kraft, when they signed him, talk about, you know, now, you know, we're doing this with the expectation that Vince takes a step forward in the leadership department. Well, you know, you could make an argument, what he needed to be paid to do that?
Right.
You know, so these are the kinds of things that you worry about. Last year, maybe Vince wasn't doing these things, and maybe he will this year. In New York, maybe Nick Mangold was a guy who did those things last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he doesn't get his, he'll say, why don't you go ask the brick to do it?
Right.
You know, what do you need me to do it? Those kinds of things, I think, can fester.
Sure.
I'm not saying they will, but I think they can.
Especially in New York.
Oh, you're right, because the expectations there are way out of whack.
Yeah.
Mick from Wexford is nice enough to get us lunch. He says it's
thank you very much.
Mick from Ireland, but I think I'll have to call myself Mick from Wexford, Ireland now, since there's another Mick writing in from Ireland. Anyway, hope lunch gets there, and I hope you enjoy it. I was wondering, are there any coaches or coordinators in the league that you would like to see Bill hire to help out the team or who you would think would do a good job? I know Bill doesn't really hire guys from the outside, the team, but it's just a game.
I'll tell you who I would like to have seen, and it's too late now because, unfortunately, a division rival got him, Mike Nolan.
I would have liked to
see
Romeo
talked about
come
that.
Back.
Well,
yeah.
I think we both talked about Nolan when it happened.
But
I'm talking about guys that were out there last year, you know, beyond Romeo and Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike Nolan's a pretty good defensive coordinator. And I also, I actually think he did a decent job as a head coach. And I don't think I think he sort of had the rug taken out from under him in ways that weren't his fault.
I
think he's a good 3-4 defensive coordinator who I would have liked to have seen here.
All right.
And I think the Dolphins are better for having him, by the way.
What about Gruden on offense?
No. Too much of the show.
A good mind.
Yeah.
But
I like him better where he is now.
To me, I'd rather have, if I'm going to have an ex-head coach that's going back to be a coordinator, I'd rather have him be sort of a failed head coach.
Charlie?
Yeah.
You know, rather than a successful head coach, like you said, Fred.
Right.
The ego and personality.
Right.
you know, he did a good, he did obviously won a Super Bowl in Tampa, and he had some other pretty good teams.
And he did
there,
very well in Oakland.
With not a ton of,
they were a game away from a Super Bowl in Oakland.
With not a ton of talent.
Right.
You know, not a ton of talent in Tampa, you know, in his later years. He had some 10 win teams and playoff teams that I thought were average at best, and you've seen what happened to that roster since he left.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have a premium MP3 from Mikey Vandalism.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Felipe,
just kidding. I didn't turn your mic on as a joke there.
it's not that funny if
it's funny.
If it's forced,
if it's
like
not,
that.
Yeah, if it's not your doing.
It has to be organic.
It was funny for me.
Good. I'm glad you're having a good time in there.
It's one of the last times he's ever going to run a radio board. Let him have
his
fun.
That's true. let's see, Philippe in Sweden. I mentioned earlier that someone told me that there's a lot of racism in Netherlands.
You said that, yeah.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah,
I don't
he
believe
says,
you.
Fred, I've heard the
you're
same thing
wrong.
As you about the racism in the Netherlands,
well,
as long as you're not an athlete, that is. But Pau Gasol is from Spain, and that's reason enough to hate the entire country. Bah, soccer sucks anyway. On to football. What do you think about the guys on NFL.com saying that the Patriots might not want to sign Brady to a five-year contract because he gets injured a lot? Who said
that? I didn't see that.
I hadn't heard that, but that's, I think, ridiculous. Now, if you want to say maybe they shouldn't sign him to a five-year contract because, you know, he's 33
and, might not want to play out the 5 years.
Yeah, and maybe at the end of that, you know, or in the middle of that, you might be looking to move on. Mm. I wouldn't agree with you, but I think you could make a football argument. But because he gets injured a lot?
Now, he might get injured a lot, but
he plays
through it.
Right.
And he plays pretty well most of the time.
And I'll tell you, you know what's amazing is Peyton Manning, that how durable he's been.
To me, they're very similar. I mean, yeah. Manning obviously didn't miss the season that Brady did, but to play that position, you know, that's the one thing about Brett Favre that I don't think is overrated.
No, he
to
played
play
hurt.
That position in that long.
I got to give him that.
And show up week in and week out the way those three guys have, I think is absolutely amazing.
Yep.
I mean, I know there's a lot of luck that goes into that, but it's still a lot of toughness too.
Yep. Let's see. Who writes in?
Who dat?
Who?
Who day?
His name is Who.
Oh.
Was he on first?
Oh.
Has a QB of Brady's caliber ever requested a trade? I sense he will want out after this year if he keeps being stalled by Mr. Kraft like this. Isn't this an ego thing with all quarterbacks? They're the only position that seriously never get a deal expired before being re-extended.
Has a high-profile quarterback ever requested a trade?
I don't think so.
One who's won Super Bowls, I'm assuming, because
you
know,
the Jets
guys
traded
like John Elway doesn't count.
Did the Jets trade Joe Namath to the Los Angeles Rams?
I believe they did, but that's
but
not
I,
the
that's
same.
Not
they didn't
the same.
Request it. Yeah.
But it's also he's at the very end of his career.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a guy like Brady, Manning, you know, even like Drew Brees. You know, he left as a free agent, but it wasn't really the same.
McNabb didn't request a trade.
He didn't request it.
No,
that would probably be the closest. That's the first thing that popped into my mind. But he didn't request it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. You know, listen, the point is there. I mean, franchise quarterbacks don't usually get to the end of their contracts, and they don't usually get dealt.
Joe Montana was traded.
I believe that's the case. But again, end of the line.
Mm.
You know, and listen, I think they
were
wrong.
Very end. Yeah.
I think they cost themselves another title or two.
Aaron from Sterling, Virginia. Usually he's going after Andy, but here he makes
Andy's
fun
not
of
here.
Paul. RIP LeBron era in Cleveland. Paul just gave it the Perillo kiss of death. I've realized that after the Jason Taylor will be a Patriot and no chance that we don't see Mankins on the field this year comments that if Paul bets odds, I'm taking even.
I said no chance that we'll see Mankins on the field this year?
I don't know, apparently. He's been the George Costanza of picking where players will play. If every instinct I have is wrong, then the opposite must be right. Give me chicken salad on rye and LeBron to Miami. So,
wow. He's saying you said no chance we won't see Mankins on the field.
I didn't say that either.
I don't think he said that either, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And I actually don't remember saying anything definitive about Jason Taylor this year or last year. Certainly not this year. Last year it looked like he was going to be here because Mr. Kraft made that comment.
Hey, Tacoma, you got Mikey Vandalism queued up? Yep, because I promised we'd listen to that after the break, and I just remembered. So
what's up, my broskies from PFW in Progress? I have not delighted your ears for quite some time, so this is Mikey Vandalism here with premium quality. So looking into training camp in the next few weeks, there's going to be many different position battles, and one of the position battles that I would like to check out is the safety position. You have Brandon Merriweather, who is most likely a lock at one of the positions, but after that it is very, very uncertain. There's a lot of depth at the safety position, unlike others on the team, and it makes it very, very interesting. You would think after spending a second-round pick last year on Patrick Chung that he would most likely be the best candidate to come in and start next to Merriweather. Also, you have a very solid James Sanders, and you have Brandon McGowan. So who is the odd man out? Is it going to be more of a rotational battle? Are you going to have some of the younger guys like Brett Lockett, or you have Sergio Brown? Who's going to be making the team? And do you think that with all the safety depth, do you think one of these guys could be on a potential trade block? Who would be the most likely man out? Just figured I'd get your input on that. And Andy Boesky, This one's for you, you little California girl.
Okay.
A little better production value from Mikey today.
The intro, he had an intro voice, too, which was a little bit different than normal.
Yeah, bought some software.
Maybe. I actually don't think there's going to be an odd man out in that four-man group. I think the same four are going to be on the roster again this year. McGowan, Sanders, Chung, and Merriweather. But I don't disagree with his contention that one of them could be on the trade block. I would that wouldn't surprise me either. I think if that's
the case, my guess is Sanders.
Probably. Much to Andy's chagrin.
Yeah, I think he offers the most value. And I think Chung is the young guy that you're not going to give up on. I think that Chung is going to be given every opportunity to play.
As we've started to see in the spring.
And I agree with Merriweather. Obviously, he's the lock. I think Chung is given every opportunity to play. I'm a little bit less high on McGowan. I think that you kind of saw what he can do. He can make plays for you. I think he can, he can run around and bring the lumber a little bit. But I don't think as an every down player, he's the answer.
Yeah.
I think Eric's right. I think all four of those guys are back. I think all four will play.
Yeah, McGowan's the kind of guy who he came in, brought a spark, but the longer he was out there, the more exposed he got.
Right. Well, I think he struggles in coverage, and that's what my worry is with Chung.
Yeah,
we'll see if he's picked up. He talked a lot. We talked to him a little bit in the spring. He talked a lot about playing faster because he knows what he's doing a little bit more. Last year, he felt like he was thinking a lot and wasn't able to play instinctively. And now he feels much more comfortable with his assignments, with the system, and his role in it, and feels like he's playing faster. So we'll see if that manifests itself.
Zach says, Paul, I totally agree with you about Belichick. Fred is being a douche and not even listening to your argument. WTF, Fred. Bill attacked Casserly about what he said about Brady that turned out to be right or somehow right. That was wrong. Okay, well.
What?
Fred's not conceding this point.
Did you just say okay?
No, I'm saying okay to the email.
He's saying okay like whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, why couldn't he just say okay to me 5 minutes in?
No, he's not agreeing with him. He's saying okay
that's
as just, in whatever.
That's his opinion, yeah. Whatever.
Fred's not conceding the point.
I'm not conceding, of course.
It's really quite embarrassing.
It is, but that's,
John says, hey, guys, in the self-righteous, pompous ass.
That's me.
If I didn't have a meeting, I would call it, but in the absence, Eric, really?
Oh!
Let's see. Oh, he's on.
Who is this?
This is about your Vegas vacation.
Who is it?
John in South Carolina.
Oh, says, that's because really, I got mad at him the other day about lunch.
You say you don't want your life to be boring, but when you're in Las Vegas, you don't go out because it would upset your host family. I can understand you don't want to be a party boy, but the shows plus some of the best wine and
shows
food
and hoes, baby,
in the world, and you're sitting in someone's living room. You remind me of the guy who travels to France and eats McDonald's because it's safe.
Hey,
you don't embrace life; you cower from it.
Hey, jerk off! That's not going to be my only time in Vegas. I'm going to be making multiple trips there. So the first time I went, I was.
Anyway, he says he's just screwing with you.
He's pacing himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you going to do your second time, and when is that scheduled?
It's not scheduled, but I'll be going next year.
Next year?
He doesn't have any
more
vacation.
How long are you
going
to drag this out for?
Fred, I have this little thing called the NFL season in which I'm not allowed to take time off.
Well, give me a
You might have heard of it.
I'm talking about
it
the
starts
actual
in 3 weeks.
Production of this piece of work that you're doing. For
the work will be done, but the arrangement we made was we'll do one per year so that they can save up enough money to pay for it, and I'll have more than enough time
so
to get it done.
So when is it going to be done?
Before next year.
Is it already done?
No. But
have
I'm,
you started?
I'm get,
have
yeah,
you started
I'm heavily into it.
Well, I would figure with the NFL, you just don't have time. You know?
That's why I have to get into it, because
NFL,
I have the NFL season starting in 3 weeks.
You,
and, John, I know you're just busting
balls.
That's why I'm busting back with you. So
you can't do two things at once?
That's what Bill was doing at Casually.
No, I give 100% to my job, Fred, unlike some people around here.
You like busting balls
I don't know
back
why you
with
gotta,
people?
I wasn't talking about
I don't
you.
Know why you call
I wasn't
me
talking
up
about you, Paul. He automatically assumes I'm talking about him.
I did that on purpose.
I know. Talking about Fred.
I have a question about holdouts, says Andrew in the Ukraine. I know to accrue a year, there are a minimum of games that have to be played. What I don't know is why the games missed always come at the beginning of the year. It would seem that Darrell Revis would have
Revis
would have a lot more pull if he played the season up until the ninth week. Then on Saturday after practice, went up to Woody Johnson's office and pulled out airplane tickets to Hawaii and said, unless we have a deal by 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be on this plane. Now the Jets would have their playoff hopes in serious jeopardy, would almost have to give in. Is there a specific language that nullifies the accrued year under this scenario?
I know this is going to sound old-fashioned, but what happened to the old days when you sign a contract and you
stop?
Honor it?
But you know what? Eric, guys held out back then, too. One of our beloved, John Hanna in
Leon Gray.
Leon Gray held out. I mean, guys,
I'm not saying that's right.
Guys have always been doing this. If you got the leverage, you use it.
Plus, there's plenty of examples of the other side not honoring the contract they signed, too. So I don't really...
This has been going on.
That's a very interesting point that he makes. I don't know this for sure, so I don't want to speak without the information that would make me Andy. I don't know for sure, but I think that actually is a very interesting take. Now, my guess, the reason a player would have for not wanting to do that is the whole reason for the holdout in the first place is to get the money before you get hurt.
Right.
You're exposing yourself to 10 weeks of injury risk before you ever get to, you know, implement your plan,
right,
so to speak. But,
and there's a chance that your team doesn't win and you're not going to go to the playoffs.
Right. Now,
and they say, I don't care, go.
There's a lot of things that could happen there, but it is very interesting. Let's just say, for argument's sake, with Revis, the Jets were, 7-3.
Right.
And he's Revis Island like he was last year.
Right.
And then he walked into Woody Johnson and said, you know what? I want that contract or I ain't playing in week 11.
I think at that point, either one, beginning of the season or at that point, you're hurting your teammates, but it's even more emphasized then. You're really hurting your teammates if you do that.
And that's probably why they wouldn't want, because now you're over-the-top selfish.
Right.
And exposing yourself.
And I don't think there would be any difference, though, in terms of the CBA. And I think that was his question, is if there was any language in the CBA that would prevent that. I don't know that for sure, but I think that you could do that if you wanted. I just think it would be a much more difficult way for a player to do it.
Let's see. Juvenal, whenever you want to call yourself, said, I had so much fun putting together the last MP3, I made another. This is probably not a good hobby to spend my time on. Has any of you guys seen the Shake Weight commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, matter of fact, Tomash was cracking up about an hour ago.
Anyway, I hope you enjoy this. I hope it's not too dirty. And please call me Juve. J-U-V.
Juve.
Or Juve.
Juve?
He started off not knowing what the J was. I was like, Juve?
Maybe Hoove. Maybe you don't pronounce the J. It's
Juve?
Hoove.
Hoove.
Of?
Anyway, we got that queued up. Have you listened to it?
Give me a second.
Oh, he hasn't.
Have you listened to it?
He hasn't screened it.
Screened it?
I have not screened it. So give me a few minutes,
Should be ready with the 7-second delay.
Never thought I'd say, where's Doc?
Are you done?
I didn't say it.
I want to listen to it before we play it. All right, so all about dirty phrases.
You let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
In the meantime, Phil from Nova Scotia says, I saw the Floors Direct woman. You know, that woman that Andy's in love with.
Mm-hmm. Not an attractive girl.
She's on the TV.
The chipmunk
he was at the gym.
She's just not attractive.
And he
really
says, wow, what a beast that thing is. If that commercial comes on at home, I change the channel or avert my eyes. That broad has got to have a dangler. What's that? What's a dangler?
Now, what do you think?
I don't know.
Take a wild guess, Fred.
Oh.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh. What is up with that? Andy, seriously, dude, throw a wig and some coconut shells on Kirsch and he would look better than that Jabberwocky.
Ooh.
She's not attractive. I really don't get Andy's fascination.
I don't know.
This question is about T.O., but it can also be about other trouble players. When people talk about T.O., it seems a little lazy and simple to just say he will be bad for the locker room without examining why. People say he talks too much, he's a drama queen, he's out for himself, etc., to which I say, so what? If your need and his talent outweigh his personality conflicting with other personalities, isn't he worth it? Are other players so weak-minded that he could take over a locker room? Could they not just ignore him like one would a boss's spoiled child? Would T.O. even stand out in a player's league like the NBA? The hypocrisy of the NFL also bothers me that they poo-poo the actions of T.O. and Ocho, but yet use them to market their brand. So,
is he trying to convince us that we should sign T.O.?
No,
because
I think we've all said if there was the need and his talent was still there.
I think he answered his own question.
Right.
I think if the need and his talent outweighed the distractions, then you would do
it. Then you do it.
But I think
at this point,
I think for very few teams that would be the case.
Right.
and I know it's simple to say, you know, he talks, it would be bad for the locker room, but three of the four places that he's played, he's been talking too much and been bad in the locker room. He's toxic in his locker room. And by the way,
and I think he knew going into Buffalo last year that they weren't going to compete.
Well, plus it was only a 1 year contract, yeah. So he wasn't
there to make waves.
And I also don't think he was a model citizen there, by the way. I think that he had some issues earlier in the year that was sort of glossed over because he was never really a factor last year. He was never part of what was going on. And like you said, Eric, they weren't winning. And I think Chad Ochocinco is, to me, a much different – he's a much, much different case. He is not bad in his locker room. No one's ever accused him of being bad in his locker room.
Right. No.
He's tough to handle at times because he's high maintenance.
Right.
Much like a lot of wide receivers are.
A lot of divas at that position.
He's playful, but he works ridiculously hard with the Bengals. Not on his own, not, doing his own thing. Now, is he the perfect NFL player? No. You know, he's at the Dancing with the Stars and things like that. He's about Chad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a reason why the Bengals have held on to him.
Yeah,
and that's
good.
Because he's
on the field.
But find me teammates that are saying things about him that former teammates of T.O. will say about him.
That's
find me
point.
Donovan right. McNabb.
I'll tell you,
find me Chad Johnson's
team,
Donovan McNabb.
On that team, Husman Zada has said more about teammates than Chad Ochocinco
right.
has.
Find me the Donovan McNabb for T.O.
Yeah.
For Chad Johnson. Mm-hmm. Find me a high-profile right. guy who has ripped Chad Ochocinco for his
right.
behavior.
Right.
And
he's ready when he wants.
And you can look no further than our own Bill, who loves Chad Johnson.
Okay, so the MP3 is ready, so let's hear it.
I've admired the Navy players for a while now. Mario from San Benito, Texas.
Mario!
I was in love with that guy.
But you want him. I'm a lonely guy.
How can you like a guy now?
Oh, I didn't say I liked him for doing it.
I've been down on him.
Knob job.
With his mouth.
The cock.
And penis.
It's so hard, hard one to swallow.
Come on.
I want, I don't know what it was, to pump in semen.
My ass a lot.
Choke me, which is why he came both ways. Isn't that what we want to see?
No.
Because I'm getting it. It's coming at me. Well, here's the little push. You got to.
You have a stain on your pants already.
Well, we're having a good time here.
How my ass tastes, Eric.
Butt logger. I probably just want to get it over with so quick.
All right, good.
Wow. I figured I might get fired for playing that, but then I thought,
whatever.
Fun with audio.
Wow. We are very disgusting on this
show. I liked my little montage at the beginning.
I did.
Liked him. That's going funny. Down.
You didn't like him, but you went down. My God.
Paul, let's see. Mike writes in. Yeah. He says, I'm a longtime Pats fan and fan of PFW and first-time emailer.
Good.
That being said, I think you'll understand why you were the first people I thought of when I came across this article. As if the headline wasn't enough, there are plenty of quotes in the story to keep Andy and Fred giggling for hours. I hope you get a good laugh.
Is this
I really
the track
enjoyed
story?
The show. Keep up the good work. Now, the
good work.
Just read the headline.
You don't have to read the story.
The headline is
It's a track and field event, right?
Tired Gay succumbs to dicks. It's a track guy named Gay.
Tyson Gay. And right. I don't know Dick's first name.
And so that was a fun. I can't believe it's a Reuters headline. I can't believe they didn't.
It's absolutely intentional.
It had to be intentional.
You think
it doesn't
so?
Even yeah. make yeah. It barely makes sense.
It's like when the Boston Globe did the Sabres Pekka right. story.
By any way you measure it, Sabres Pekka.
Yeah, but they
big.
Retracted that. That wasn't in the later
they
edition.
They didn't retract
it. They didn't retract
that.
It.
They took it off the later edition.
No, they did not.
No?
No.
I thought they did.
No, there's no question in my mind that whoever wrote that headline was the Andy Hart of Reuters and did it on purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Because it doesn't even make – it really doesn't make sense. I mean, it's accurate, but why would you describe it like that? The loser first
right.
succumbs. I mean, it's not a word that you would put
– Right.
Come on. Why couldn't you just put,
exactly.
Dicks beats Gay. That's what you should have put, right?
Right.
Gay succumbs to dicks. I mean, come on. That's just very poor to me.
Oh, have you seen, by the way, another one of these spots I keep seeing during the World Cup, what's her name? Hillary Duff is doing these public service announcements telling people not to use the word gay as something being bad. Mm. Have you seen that?
No.
That's the best that they can come up with for advertising the World Cup. Huh?
There's like these I don't know. It's just it's a PSA.
It is rampant in the high schools.
There are these two girls like in a clothing shop, and one of them says, "Oh, how do you like this thing?" And she goes, "Oh, that's so gay." And then Hillary Duff just like pops out of nowhere. "Oh, you have it? Yeah, play it."
And I was like, "Okay.
Why do you have that recorded?" That's kind of weird.
Evidently, YouTube has a thing for Hillary Duff.
Yeah, you couldn't find the Charlie Casserly quote, though.
So gay.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally gay.
You know, you really shouldn't say that.
Say what?
Your mom's say that something's off. Gay when you mean it's bad. It's insulting. What if every time something was bad, everybody said, "Oh, that's so girl wearing a skirt as a top."
Oh, you are.
Those are cute jeans, though. When you say that's so gay, do you realize what you say? Knock it off.
You got to save that and use it whenever Andy uses it.
That's a good
knock it off.
You got to use that.
Really? Oh my God.
It's funny though, isn't it?
No, it's stupid.
You should save it though for Andy when he uses that all the time.
Let's see, John.
I'll never figure out why those things are important, but that's just
me being rookie free agent cornerback.
I mean, it's all self.
John and Lynn, my last email, I brought up the alleged Super Bowl losers curse again, and I was called an idiot. I don't know, but not being an expert like you guys, I've noticed that teams that lose the big game don't seem to do well the next year. Is this a trend?
And we called you an idiot for that?
I guess.
No, I think we called him an idiot for something else.
I think we called you an idiot for a lot of other things, John.
Yeah.
Anyway, is this a statistical anomaly or a trend?
Trend. Matter of fact, we put a big feature about that the year we lost the Super Bowl in 07.
Right.
We had a feature in the offseason about the Patriots. Now, we didn't know that Pretty was going to get hurt.
While having a job and somewhat of a life, I don't have time to research all this and was looking forward to Perillo's column on this in 08, but he didn't have
there
to write it because the Patriots are different and nothing like that would happen to them.
No, we
do you want some examples?
Maybe we can look forward all to the Colts not making the playoffs this year or at being one and done. Also from last week.
Well, it's not making the playoffs is the trend.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pittsburgh.
The Cardinals just broke that. They actually made the playoffs.
San Diego, when they got there, they didn't
but
do
Pittsburgh,
it.
But Pittsburgh, after the first one, they didn't make it. They won the Super Bowl. But the Patriots, the Bears.
Eagles.
The Eagles, they didn't make the playoffs the year after they lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Carolina Panthers.
It's like, I think, six out of the last 7 years or something like that. I think Arizona broke it last year.
Yeah, since 97, it's everyone except for the 2000 and 2004 teams and Arizona from last year. So almost every year.
Also from last week, some of my attempts at humor were taken by Andy as affronts to his tiny manhood, so he called me an idiot. Coming from an intellectual of Andy's caliber, I found this very disconcerting. I'm probably not the brightest bulb on the circuit, as I do subscribe to your newspaper and listen to this podcast, but at least I know what I can do to bump up my IQ a few points if need be. I'm against extending the season to 18 games, mostly because it makes it more likely that the 72 Dolphins will permanently own the mantle of undefeated. We will be forced to watch these DBs popping their champagne corks while teams lose their first game. By the time my toddler son grows up to be my age, they'll be playing 162 games a year, but at least those obnoxious old Dolphins and I will be gone by then. Andy, that was a joke. I don't really expect them to play 162 games a year like baseball. And another wisecrack in the offseason, shouldn't it be called Patriots football whenever? I don't know. You're an idiot. No, I'm only kidding. Paul just gets up and leaves.
Yeah, it's that time of the show, though, actually.
Actually, he held out a little longer.
About 10 minutes longer, yeah.
Yeah. He just leaves.
He usually has that 1:30 break where, you know, it's a growing problem.
It's a growing problem.
Yeah.
Happens when you get to that age.
It does.
Stripper says we need to root for the Netherlands because a Dutch adult film actor said if the Dutch wins, she will lecture every one of her Twitter followers.
Lecture?
It was not lecture.
Oh. Something else? Well, we need to start following her then. You know? And I heard she was going to perform
on all of her followers?
Oral homage.
On her followers?
Yeah.
She must have a lot of followers.
Yep.
Got a follower.
She's got a new one right there because Tacoma just...
Your girlfriend's not going to want you to follow her.
So. Hey, guys, and Eric.
Oh.
I'll try not to be long-winded. talk about soccer changes. The rule changes you propose for soccer are to make the game more enjoyable, but the whole world except for the U.S. already likes the sport. We only want some replay and small tweaks here and there. Changing offsides and extra time aren't small tweaks. And two, U.S. athletes could definitely play soccer, but I have no doubt that soccer players could play U.S. sports if they were trained as children. I agree.
Yeah, I think
I don't think
we
so.
We both agree.
I don't think a lot of them.
I agree.
I'm serious. I don't think a lot of them are big enough.
Well, but baseball?
Yeah, I'd say none of them, Fred.
Okay. Well, it's funny, though, you say that. You're talking about soccer players not being big enough to play?
Yeah, soccer players are smaller than other sports,
as a rule. There are probably more smaller players in soccer, I'll grant you that. But I've been, in this World Cup especially, the announcers have been making a point at when a guy like my size, 5'7", gets in the game, they make a big deal to point out that he's 5'7". He's a smaller guy, they say. A lot of these lineups, the guys are like 6 feet or taller.
There's more and more.
There
guys
are a lot more taller
like
players that are playing.
You know, it used to be everybody
football.
Was 5'9", 5'10", 170 pounds.
Right. It's not that case
anymore.
You
didn't even have to have a lineup. They all were the same size.
A nice little player.
Especially like when they do the national anthems at the beginning and they go through the whole roster, like, most of them are pretty tall, and then every once in a while they have to dip down to the shorter guy who's in the lineup there. So I think they're getting, you know, I think that it's trending that way too. The bigger people are playing these sports and are getting the chances to succeed. A 6'4 defender is going to be a lot better than someone my size.
Rob from Marlboro, how was your fourth, and what did each of you do on it? Nothing much. Just
yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyed
a lot.
Being home.
A lot of stuff, Freddie.
You did a lot. You were out and about.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Miller Lights.
Making the scene and everything.
I had a few Miller Lights.
Yeah.
Throwing a few buds.
A few? How many is a few?
I don't know.
As many as San Diego or less?
Just a couple.
San Diego's the bar,
dozen.
So to speak.
There was a block party on the 3rd, which was kind of cool.
Wow.
In my neighborhood.
Old-fashioned block party.
Yeah.
Shut down the streets
it was
and
around
everything.
The corner. It wasn't in my direct neighborhood, but we went. We were invited. It was nice. Little clam bake on the 4th at my cousin's.
Old school.
Then left there and went to a barbecue, which was nice.
Drinking and driving the whole time?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, it's a block party. You could just walk, right?
Yeah.
Good. And I know where Andy had...
Andy has like an enormous fireworks display.
Yeah.
He had a carnival with rides
and
everything.
Yep.
Every
First
year
wheel.
He picks off one of his indentured servants in the background.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
Rob says, I like the soccer discussion you've been having. It's a big deal right now, and I've learned a little there's no Pats news anyway. Fred, nice job of pushing some soccer fans from zero to hot. Their little rants make me laugh, especially when it's about your rule change suggestions.
Yeah, those are funny.
Then to hear that soccer has made rule changes fairly recently makes these guys seem even crazier. Thanks so much for the laughs. I think Maroney has had enough chances. His numbers are okay, but it seems like he never comes through in the clutch. Running back by committee is okay, but it takes up roster spots. I'd like to see them part ways with Maroney and move on with what they have. That's Rob in Marlboro.
Well, unfortunately, I think you're going to get another year of him. I think it's very much like the Benjamin Watson situation last year where he could have easily been cut. None of us would have been surprised. But
There was a time I really thought Watson was getting cut.
Yeah, I think he was even surprised when he found out that he made the team last year.
I thought that there was a... So I guess you can add that to that emailer who said that the kiss of death and stuff. When he had that comment about, you know, whether it's here or not after one of the preseason games, I thought for sure he was going to get cut.
Yeah, I did too. But I think it's a similar situation where they're giving this guy the full extent of his rope and he's going to play out his full contract, and then at the end of next year... At the end of this season, I think we'll probably be the end of his career here. But
Mark in Ohio says, you guys are killing me.
Mark!
You guys forget Terrell Owens damn near beating the Patriots with a broken leg.
Years ago.
You guys know Terrell.
When he was good.
2004.
You guys know Terrell Owens takes part in the Alzheimer walk. Ever see Terrell Owens on a police blotter? I hear comparisons with the T.O.'s and the Ocho Cincos to the Tigers, Vicks, and Ray Lewis's of the world, and it makes me puke. God forbid we get a Hall of Famer that would play to win a Super Bowl this year as much as anybody. I really do not care if we get T.O. or not, just that the Patriots start getting players that are worth the crap on and off the field.
I don't even know where to begin.
A lot of what you say is accurate. I think that T.O. does play hard. I think he has not been in legal trouble, but you can't deny the fact that he has been bad news for three out of the four teams he's played on. He has ultimately done more harm than good for three of the four teams he's played on. Doesn't mean he's not immensely talented. Doesn't mean he doesn't work very hard. Doesn't mean that he is constantly in legal trouble. I think you have a guy that is very similar to him right now in Randy Moss. I think that Moss has been in less of those kinds of situations during the course of his career. But I cannot deny the fact that he had some of this in Minnesota and a lot of it in Oakland. Oh. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
How many of those guys do you want? Now, if you're saying saying we have to get rid of Moss so we get T.O.,
Paul,
okay.
I
don't want both of them on the same team.
You're missing something here, Paul. There's a segment of the Patriots fan population that is just desperate to win another Super Bowl. They don't care who plays on this team or not. They could get all the criminals in Rikers Island and put them in uniforms. If they could win a Super Bowl, they'd be all for it.
That's the whole point.
I
agree.
But I'm just saying
he's not a criminal.
Well, people have gotten so desperate to win,
but I don't think T.O. does it.
That's
the thing. If you ask me in 2004,
right,
when we were, you know, let's say 2005 when we lost Branch and Givens, if we had a chance to get T.O., I might have been more willing to roll the dice then.
Yeah.
No, we got Moss instead in 07. But maybe in 06, if we could have gotten T.O., now, by that time, he was in Dallas.
Right.
I would have been more willing to roll the dice then. Yeah. He was still at the peak of his career, ability-wise. And you're right. The email is right. He's never been in any legal trouble. I think he's certifiably insane.
Right.
But he's never been in any legal trouble. And he does play hard. You can't deny that. Hall of Fame career, no doubt.
Sean says, just received an alert on my BlackBerry that Jermaine O'Neal of the Heat just agreed to terms with the Celtics. Are they clearing payroll for the Heat?
No, Jermaine O'Neal was a free agent.
So that's...
Wasn't a trade. Yeah, I'm hoping that means that Rasheed Wallace is officially retired. But I'm not sure on that. I've heard some conflicting stories that maybe he's thinking about sticking around. That would be really bad.
What about the Shaq news?
Haven't heard any Shaq
news. I don't want
news.
Him either.
That was the report that Atlanta, Boston, and...
Yeah. Do you want...
I guess Cleveland
O'Neal
was still in the...
Shaq wouldn't be...
Dallas.
Shaq wouldn't
the
be
one.
The worst thing for 1 year, 20 minutes a game, 15 minutes a game, but... I mean, I could do without him. I wouldn't mind seeing him from an entertainment standpoint. I'm not invested in every win and loss, but he's an entertaining guy. I've always enjoyed Shaq.
I'm one of those MP3s. Yeah. That's a given.
Go at it.
From Juve. Juvenile.
You know, T.O. only had 5 touchdowns last year in 16 games.
Yeah,
he's not that good anymore.
No, Fred will tell you, Wes Welker only had 4.
He's not that good. And nobody will convince us otherwise, by the way.
But a little bit different for T.O. in that he was playing in Buffalo with a bunch of shoemakers trying to get him the ball.
It just surprises
69 catches the year before with Tony Romo.
There are people out there, Paul, that still want to try to convince us.
He wouldn't take 70 catches?
It's a downward decline for the last 4 years.
Okay, so I guess we shouldn't assign Torrey Holt then.
There are people out there, Paul, who
I wouldn't argue that
are still trying to convince us that we have to sign T.O. and they're just not going to make that.
No
argument.
One's going to convince me because of what Fred said. My team is well documented. It wouldn't win. I don't want those guys on my team.
I know. I'm with you.
But particularly when I already have a guy that's very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Salim in Virginia says, "I have two simple questions. Is this the greatest decade in Boston sports history? And which Patriots team is the best ever, 07 or 04? The first one's a good one.
I think it's the greatest decade in Boston sports. Unquestionably.
Unquestionably.
You had titles from 3 different teams.
Yeah.
And multiples for 2 of them.
Yeah.
Playoff appearances galore.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, Bruins didn't do anything.
And even at the end of the decade,
they made a resurgence.
The Bruins were good. Not great. They were good.
They made a resurgence.
And the Celtics were terrific over the last 3 years of the decade.
Won a title.
The Red Sox were excellent throughout the decade and won 2 World Series. Mm-hmm. Got to ALCS another time. Game 7 of an ALCS, as a matter of fact. And the Patriots, three titles and another Super Bowl appearance.
We've seen this kind of thing in
year-long or year-and-a-half-long stretches, like 86, when there was, you know, Patriots went to the Super Bowl, Celtics won, Red Sox went to the World Series, but never for an entire decade.
Now,
this
you
is
can make
easily
the argument
the best
that
decade.
In terms of titles won, the 60s would have been the greatest one because the Celtics won, I think, 9.
Every one of them. Yeah.
They Pretty won much, 9 in that decade or 8 in that decade.
Yeah.
So that's more than the 6 that Boston has won in the aughts. But
just one team.
I would take the 3 different teams having success over the one team winning more titles.
Sure.
Best Patriots team ever.
Revs made it to the championship.
Best Patriots team ever.
That's a good point,
right
though,
along.
Too.
What?
Moving right along. Best
07.
Patriots team ever.
I still think 07 was the best team. They didn't win it, I know, and I know 04 had a better defense, but 99 games out of 100, they beat the Giants.
04, I think, would have beaten 07.
Yeah, I mean, 04, I think, was a more complete team.
Yeah. I think that you know? Defense would have found a way to slow down the offense.
Yeah.
Like they basically did to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, a lot of people thought that in 78.
See,
you know,
I was actually going to get cute and say I would say that 76 or 78. But
yeah, talent wise.
Yeah, they didn't put it together.
No.
They didn't do it. You know, I mean, at least the 07 team got to the Super Bowl.
Right, right. But, you know, that with the Phantom roughing the passer call.
You'll never know.
Screwed them.
I would have put him in the AFC Championship game, and then who knows.
Definitely the 04 defense doesn't, you know, that's the best defense this team has ever had, but I still think the 07 team would have been I think they were the best team of all time.
Let's see.
That's typical of you. You're all about the flash.
Zach,
I'm about the substance.
Zach from Syracuse.
Yeah, you got plenty of that.
Says, sorry, Fred, I had to email in early, but I won't be able to listen live today because of work. Just thought you would all like to know that for my 4th of July birthday, my parents bought me a year subscription to PFW.
Hey.
So how many months before I get my first copy?
Da-dum-tsh.
Good, Eric. Anyway, personnel question. Assuming the Pats play more 43 defense this season, do you see Cunningham and Burgess playing end in those sets?
I wouldn't make that assumption, and no.
No.
Burgess will play with his
Cunningham,
hand down. I'm not sure Cunningham will.
But he played end at Florida, didn't he?
But I think he'll be an outside linebacker at the pro level.
Okay.
Now, that's just, I mean, I haven't seen the guy play. We'll see what happens
in
training camp and
right.
stuff. But I think that there will be a predominantly 3-4 team again.
All right. Oh, and by the way, before we sign out, sign off
5 minutes
today.
You know who else's birthday is?
No, we
don't. 4th of July.
The numbers
subject
came
of
back
my book.
Oh, really?
The numbers came in for June.
Oh,
our
numbers?
Show.
And again, I want to thank the more important people here.
Right.
Is our loyal listeners. Because our numbers are shooting through the roof. Great job by you, by the way, Toyota.
Yeah.
Putting together that graph. In a very easy to read format, just to see how much more.
Would have been nice if you sent it to us though directly.
This
sent to Paul and Fred.
I got it.
Oh,
I mean, literally tens
the
of thousands
people.
Of
right,
people.
Right.
Tens of thousands of people download each.
Hundreds
show.
Of thousands of people.
Well, not each show.
Well, for the month.
Over the month, yeah. But tens of thousands per show are downloading this and listening to it live. So we just want to thank everyone for, you know, listening and being loyal listeners.
Putting up with us.
Yeah. So
yeah. And
we'll try to do a better job.
Our audience is growing like my waistline, Freddie. And that's good.
Yeah, 5 times since last year. That's pretty comparable.
And just so everyone knows, I did this show after just having a tooth pulled.
I thought you were going to say without your pants.
Yeah. That'll be
Why'd
happening.
You have a tooth pulled?
It was coming loose in the back. He said, I'm just going to take it out.
Your baby teeth are starting to fall out?
It's not my baby teeth.
No, I know that.
What? Boy, vicious Eric. He's
That's really vicious, Fred.
He's feeling his oats today. Come on, you might want to write in next show. Eric's really feeling his oats. You might want to knock him down a peg.
Nah, yeah.
Kamani seems to know a lot about you.
He does.
No, Kamani likes to. Never mind.
No, all he right. knows. No, he knows.
He doesn't.
All
know
right. Him. Well, we'll be back Tuesday. Are we doing a show Tuesday?
I'm planning on it.
I will be here Tuesday.
All right. We'll all be here Tuesday.
Will Andy be here Tuesday?
Let's do a show.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Andy will be here.
So we'll see you next Tuesday.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk, when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.